High school football is on the air. HavenFootball.net, in cooperation with the Hero Scholarship Fund of Delaware County, is pleased to present tonight's 2015 39th Annual Hero Bowl.
Last time, firing down the seam, big tight end Dave Wilson at the 42, across the 40, stretches down near the 35-yard line. Gain of 26 on the play. Back to pass. Has plenty of time. Firing deep down the near sideline. Looking. Aaron Benson in coverage. And it is caught. A tremendous catch down near the 31-yard line. Back is Humes. Five-step drop. Firing deep down the seam. Pinto is open. He's got it. Touchdown. The tight end. Ridley connection. Al Humes, the running Pinto, down the seam.
Tonight's game is sponsored by TD Bank, America's most convenient bank, with convenient branches all over Delaware County. Outback Steakhouse in Springfield. Steak, chicken, and shrimp done the Outback way. Eat in or take out. The Delaware County Daily Times. All high school sports every day. If it happens in Delaware County, it's in the Delaware County Daily Times. EasyStream.com. Broadcasting your high school sporting events over the internet couldn't be easier with EasyStream. Tonight's game features a contest between the High School All-Stars of the East and the High School All-Stars of the West. Here are tonight's announcers, the regular season internet voices of the Strathaven Panthers, Brian Carroll and Mike Mayer.
Sometimes here on HavenFootball.net, the story is about something a little bit bigger than football. It's been about 6 months since we've broadcast a game live here on the internet. And it's been about six. So what is it that would take us out of hibernation after a long winter and spring and get us back on the football field here on May 28th? Well, it's one of our favorite events that we've broadcast for multiple years now. And it is live from Cardinal O'Hara High School, the 39th annual Hero Bowl, with all proceeds from tonight's action going to a scholarship fund to the families and children of fallen firefighters, police, and emergency medical service workers here in Delaware County. Good evening, everybody. Beautiful night here for football. A little humid, but we can deal as, again, terrific action is moments away from starting the final high school game for a number of seniors. Some of the best senior football players from the 2014 season have congregated here in Delaware County to put on the pads and helmets one more time. East versus West, a different format tonight here on HavenFootball.net. I'm Brian Carroll, bringing you a play-by-play, and I'm joined, as always, by the webmaster and color commentator and sound engineer, does a little bit of everything, even a newly designed website on HavenFootball.net. But Mike Mayer, this is, again, 6 months since we've done any football, but this is definitely worth it. One of my favorite events of the year.
Oh, yeah. It's great to see all the kids we've read about. And a lot of these kids, of course, we saw during the season. Obviously, some Haven players out here as well that we spent a whole season, well, several seasons, actually, since they were first brought up to varsity. So it's fun. It's a little melancholy. You're seeing kids that this is be their last game as a high school athlete. A lot of these kids will go on to play college, but that'll be pretty much it. You rarely see anybody hit the pros. And, you know, out of 7 billion people or whatever the number is, there's only like 3,100 guys in the world that can play professional football. So the odds of you having one on your team, no matter how many years you do this, and we've done this a number of years and only seen a couple of them. But this is what it's all about. You know, football is one of those rare sports, I think, that you can play it in high school. You may be lucky enough to play it in college, but that's it. You're never going to put on the pads again. So it's a unique experience, and we enjoy sharing and being a part of it, you know, win or lose, and it's been great fun. And this is just the culmination of that, to get our last chance to see these kids before they move out of high school.
And again, obviously for a terrific, terrific cause tonight, the Hero Fund provides an opportunity for a scholarship to the families of fallen firefighters, emergency medical service personnel, and police officers. And again, for 39 years they've been playing this game in Delaware County, and tonight we have a lot of thank yous to give. First of all, hosting it for the first time is Cardinal O'Hara High School. New head coach B.J. Hogan, again, has stepped in, and he'll be here tonight and has helped get the facility ready. But also, many members of the Delaware County Council are here tonight. Mario Severa, Colleen Marone, John McBlain, Dave White, Jack Whalen, the Delaware County District Attorney, is here. Mary McFall Hopper, the Delaware County Sheriff, and TD Bank, the primary sponsor of tonight's game. Tamika Friend is here to serve as a as a sponsor for representing TD Bank. Always my favorite part of this, knowing who the game officials are. The game officials are all police, police, firefighters, and EMTs here in Delaware County. So tonight, thank you to Edward Beebe from Delaware County Emergency Communication Center, Corporal Robert Frazier from the Ridley Park Police Department, Detective Gerard Scanlon from Ridley Township Police, Chief of Police David Splain in Nether Providence, Police Officer Michael Marcunas, also an officer in Nether Providence, joined by Lieutenant James Reef of the Upper Darby Police Department and Officer Dennis Valerio of the Ridley Township Police Department. Those are your game officials. So, again, they offer and dedicate their time to this fantastic event. Again, the kids, we know the kids enjoy it. We will say, only because it's really been an issue the last couple of years, and was mentioned in multiple articles in the Delaware County Times over the last couple of days. Tensions sometimes get a little high. You're playing in humidity. Kids are playing hard, playing, and their tempers get in a physical game sometimes get the better of them. And the last two games have had some extracurriculars after the whistle, and even 2 years ago we saw ejections in a halftime skirmish. Last year's game was ended with a minute left on the clock. But again, both coaches, head coaches, and the coaching staffs who have volunteered their time are trying to get it through to the kids to say, look, you're going to be competitive, you're going to work hard, but there's the story is much bigger than wins and losses tonight, and the hope is that everybody's emotions will be contained for the better. Well, speaking of the head, go ahead, Mike.
I was just going to say, well, part of that was they changed the configuration of East and West. They split it more in a geographic division, which may have knocked some of these rivalries out and some of the trash talking and other things. So, you know, and it is a brand new group of kids. I mean, the one thing about the Hero Bowl, nobody ever repeats as a player, so because they're all right. Seniors. So hopefully they got the message across and the attitude, because it was really a shame, and we hope to not have to talk about this again next year.
And, again, one other award that was presented just moments ago at here in the pregame ceremonies, the 9th Annual Ted Pacoy Memorial Award, which is named for retired Chester Police Officer Ted Pacoy, in commemoration of his outstanding service on behalf of the annual Hero Bowl and the Delaware County Hero Scholarship Fund. This award was created just after Mr. Pacoy died in June 2006, just a few weeks after that Hero Bowl. And it's presented to a person who has served the Hero Bowl and Hero Scholarship Fund with distinction and dedication in memory of Mr. Pacoy, who not only served as a policeman for 22 years, but also answered the call of his nation by serving in Vietnam as a member of the U.S. Marine Corps. The recipient of the 2015 award is Jerry Kennedy, a retired teacher and former head football coach at Interborough High School. So, again, congratulations to Jerry Kennedy, and thank you to the Pacoy family, all of whom were here tonight in memory of their husband and dad. And, again, just always a nice tribute to really and an honor for the recipient. Now for the ninth year, congratulations to Mr. Kennedy, formerly of Interborough High School. So, again, color guard is out tonight on the field at the moment. But we will have the national anthem here as well. But and with that in mind, I'll be quiet in just a moment here, and we're going to turn the microphone over to Ashley O'Connor from St. James Regional Catholic School, to who will perform the Star Spangled Banner.
Broad stripes and bright stars.
That's the Star Spangled Banner, performed by Ashley O'Connor. Fantastic job from St. James Regional Catholic School. And again, we are just moments away from kickoff here. And thanks again to everybody for tuning in. Thanks again. Jim Alsman from MarpleNewtownFootball.com is here. He's taking care of the statistics for this one.
Well, I wish he had him take care of my statistics during the regular season.
So he does a great job with that, as always. But, again, home team tonight on the sideline in front of us is the West squad. Now, Team West this year involves student-athletes from Chester, Chichester, Glen Mills, Garnet Valley, Pencrest, Ridley, Marple Newtown, Archbishop Carroll, Cardinal O'Hara, Episcopal Academy, and Radnor. Although the Radnor players tonight, as it turns out, multiple late scratches for Radnor, as many of them are contributors on the lacrosse team. They're still alive in the playoffs. And on the east side of things, Springfield has lost many participants in this game because they won yesterday and are also still participating
and
in their spring
sports. Springfield
was
District 1 champions this year for AAA football. So
a couple of terrific members of the defensive unit there that planned on playing tonight, but unfortunately will miss the event tonight. Alex Crowder and Lucas Spence are guys that would have contributed tonight but are still in taking part in the lacrosse playoffs. So from Team East, represented tonight, Academy Park, Interboro, Penwood, Springfield, Strathaven, Haverford, Upper Darby, Bonner Prendergast, Haverford School, Delco Christian, and Sun Valley. We'll get to the coaches and their staffs just in just a moment. But in the meantime, we're going to take a short time out, be back for the results of the coin toss, the opening kickoff, and a whole lot more. Glad you're joining us for the 39th Annual Hero Bowl here on HavenFootball.net.
Nobody covers the Delaware County high school sports scene like the Delaware County Daily Times. No matter what the season or the type of sport, football to soccer to lacrosse to wrestling to track to basketball and baseball, virtually every high school sport for every high school in the Delaware County. For complete coverage of today's games, pick up your copy of the Delaware County Daily Times wherever newspapers are sold, or go online at www.delcotimes.com. If it happened in Delaware County, it's in the Delaware County Daily Times.
This is Keith Jackson. You're listening to High School Football right here on HavenFootball.net.
Welcome back to Cardinal O'Hara High School. Brian Carroll bringing you play-by-play, joined here by Mike Mayer. And the captains for today's game are meeting at midfield for the coin toss. For the West, Lucas Moss is in. Well, let's talk about the uniforms. Let's get this out of the way first. In red, the West squad right in front of us. Red jerseys, white pants, white numerals, and their respective high school helmets in front of us. But the four captains out there, Jasir Minor from Ridley, Lucas Moss from Marple Newtown. Number 12 is will probably be your starting quarterback tonight, Ryan Whalen from Episcopal Academy. And number 74, Andrew Gallagher from Cardinal O'Hara. For the visitors, which... Well, not really that far down the road, really. For the visitors on the far sideline, the East in white jerseys with blue numerals, navy blue numerals. Number 41 is Mike Fisher, a linebacker from Sun Valley. He's joined by Justin Fremont, defensive lineman from Strathaven. Number 88 is Tyler Higgins from Monsignor Bonner. I'm sorry, number 82, rather, Jack Soslow from Haverford School. And number 17 is Colin DeGalbo, the quarterback from Monsignor Bonner.
So and DeGalbo is one of a pair of twins.
Yeah.
Both going on to school, although two different schools. Big article in the Delco Times today.
Yeah.
Jack Interesting McCaffrey. Story. This is a... Dad's in the audience, and this will be the last time they'll probably play together.
And a center and a quarterback.
Yep.
So they've been playing, doing that for years and years. And Monsignor Bonner, quite a turnaround, 8-2 this past season, and the DeGalbo brothers are the huge, huge part of that. So, again, just an emotional night on many levels. The twins are being split up. Colin headed to Kutztown, and Dom headed to California University of Pennsylvania. But more on the participants later. But, again, thanks to everybody here at Cardinal O'Hara for getting things started and all of our volunteers in Delaware County tonight. But they do a tremendous and obviously critical and amazing job keeping keeping the county safe and so forth when you're talking about our firefighters, EMTs, and police officers. So
yeah, we may have lucked out for the weather tonight. We've had some pretty humid days last few days and a thunderstorm yesterday afternoon poured for just a little while. This is an artificial surface just installed in the last few years, so it should drain well. But we see nothing on the radar. Everything's clear. It's cooled down substantially. As a matter of fact, at game time. Let me see what the temperature is at the moment.
Well, in the meantime, yep, while you check your AccuWeather forecast there, Mike, the
they don't pay us to say that.
The East is lining up to kick it off. Number 82 will tee it up. That's Jack Soslow from the Haverford School. The East will be moving, and the West will be receiving and moving right to left to start things in front of us. Jasir Minor, Lucas Moss, and number 10, Kevin Maloney from Haverford. I'm sorry, number 10 is Daryl Jackson from Cardinal O'Hara waiting. They await to kick off with their heels on the goal line. So I will apologize in advance if we are a little slow on names and numbers. Many of these kids, even the ones we know, wearing different numbers, even their helmets littered with stickers from their teammates' respective schools, so it looks a little different. Soslo sends one high, end over end. It's going to come down to Jackson inside the five. He takes it at the three. Straight across the 10, cuts to his left, stays on his feet, and then he's wrapped up by a host of tacklers as he crosses the 15. He'll be dropped at the 18-yard line, and the West will start things with Ryan Wayland at quarterback, moving right to left, first and 10 from their 18-yard line. We'll do the best we can to get name as many kids as we can here. It looks like, and there will be mass substitutions, so stick with us. Najee Lathan from Glenn Mills is on the offensive line. It's joined there by Dom Toludo, wearing 75. Big number 60, John DePasquale, is the offensive tackle from Garnet Valley. He's up front, joined there by 72, Colin McAllister of Chichester. And we'll start with Wayland in the shotgun. Four wide receivers. Sullivan, the fullback from Chichester, on his right hip. First and 10 from the 18. Back to pass is Wayland. Back, looking deep down the seam in man coverage and incomplete. Overshoots his man near midfield. Nice coverage there by number 30 from Upper Darby, Rociato Jenkins. Pass intended for Jack Veazey out of Harrington.
And the rules for this game are a little bit different than a regular high school game. First of all, you can only play man-to-man. There's no zone defense allowed. You've got to throw the ball at least 40% of the plays from scrimmage. That's to keep the game wide open and not run all day long. Defensive ends can't wind up defensive ends can't line up wide, and there is no blitzing, so it's very much an offensive series.
Four-man front for the defense. Wayland in the gun again. Again, four wide, and back to pass again. Three-step drop fires to the left side. Incomplete. In and out of the hands of Jasir Minor. He's in, banged down there by number four, Mike Flegel, out of Springfield.
Yeah, Flegel was right there. He might have heard the hoofbeats in the background when he went to get that catch.
In the defensive backfield for the East at the moment, Rociato Jenkins and Flegel we mentioned already. Kevin White is the other corner out of Upper Darby. And over on the far side, the left corner is Kajana Gordon out of Sun Valley. Linebackers in front of him include Matt Okuda, along with 41, Mike Fisher, and number 16, Breon Cotman-Cole. Fremont is your defensive tackle on third and 10, rolling to his right is Wyland. Looking downfield, heavy pressure, and they've got him. Ball pops out, scramble for it, and they're going to say, is he down first? Picked up by number 7 out of Haverford on the recovery, but I think they're going to say he was down first at the
16, Breon
Cotman-Cole. So Cotman-Cole on the sack and a loss of 4 on the play brings up third down and 14, so the West goes 3 and out as they move it back to the 14-yard line.
And, so went ahead and attempted 3 passes. So
Standing deep to return the punt that's expected here. Kevin White out of Upper Darby, he's a speedster, and Mike Flegel from Springfield. Najee Lathan, one of the biggest punters you'll see at 6'4", 275. He's waiting for the snap inside his five. Steps into it, the right footer, line drive kick. It's going to take a hop at just across the 40-yard line. Takes a nice roll for the West into East territory inside the 45. Rolling.
Ooh.
Down to the 40-yard line, and it's down there by Jasir Minor. So a terrific kick and a terrific roll. After three and out goes the West, and here comes the East. Into the game, I'll get as many names in as we possibly can. Colin DeGalba will be your quarterback to start thing. His brother Christian in front of him is your center. Tyler Higgins is your tight end. He lines up to the right side of the line. Two receivers to the left, one to the right. Split to this near side is Alan Ruffin out of Academy Park. DeGalbo with a back on his hip. Sends Ruffin in motion. They give it to him on a jet sweep to the left. Allen Ruffin across the 45 out near midfield and has first down yardage into West Territory at the 48-yard line. Nicely done on the jet sweep as the East says we'll keep it on the ground to start things. Also in the game right now is Linder Devos, the 5'8", 200-pound running back out of Upper Darby. Mark Everton out of Innerborough, Delaware County's leading receiver from a year ago, is slot to the right, split to the right side, is number 12, a big target out there. Nick Costello, 6'5", out of Haverford, split to this near sideline. Three wide again, Ruffin in motion this time from left to right. And play fake to Devos. Time for DeGalbos, fires a dart down the middle and is caught inside the 25, at the 20, at the 15, and running away from everybody is Nick Costello for a touchdown. Beautiful throw and wide open. Costello takes it the distance, and the East is on the board with 9:55 to play here in the opening quarter.
Boy, he was about as wide open as you're going to get in a game like this. There just wasn't anybody around him. And then a missed tackle on the way down and in for the score.
Call it a 47-yard scoring strike from Colin DeGalbo to Nick Costello. And again, he 6'5". Doesn't look like he's running that fast, but boy, those legs can cover some ground, and Costello does well to take it the distance. Soslo on to attempt the extra point. Brian Allen out of Springfield to hold. Ball spotted. Kick is away. Plenty of leg, and Soslo pounds it through. 7-0 East. We'll take a short timeout and be back to see if the West can answer. Might have ourselves a shootout here in the 39th Annual Hero Bowl on HavenFootball.net.
Introducing lunch at Outback every bloomin' day. Hurry in for all your Outback favorites. Plus new Aussie tacos, new savory ribeye melt, and our delicious burgers. Over 70 lunch combinations starting at just $6.99. It's lunch at last every day at Outback. In the Outback, every Wednesday means a three-course meal for just $12.99. So we're cooking up some of our favorite entrees, like our mouth-watering signature sirloin with soup or salad, a side, and dessert.
Visit Outback Steakhouse in Springfield at Old Sprawl Shopping Center on Baltimore Pike.
This is Ralph Lawler of the L.A. Clippers, and you're listening to high school football on HavenFootball.net.
Well, took them just two plays.
Yep.
The East, a 12-yard run for Allen Ruffin, followed by a 47-yard touchdown pass from Colin DeGalbo to Nick Costello. So Soslo will kick it away again. Sandy deep to return, Minor. And number 10, Darrell Jackson. This will be Miner, who takes it 8 yards deep in the end zone, and that's a touchback here in high school football. As Mike mentioned, Big 33 rules apply for this game, so teams have to throw it. There's no blitzing allowed. It's man coverage. There is a stage set, really, for the potential for a shootout.
Now, so let's talk about DeGalbo right now as a quarterback. 183 attempted passes, 102 completions, 1,422 yards, 12 TDs, no interceptions.
Zero interceptions. Again,
now that's a year.
Big part of the 8-2 record
for the Friars. And the add to that had 157 rushes for 703 yards and 13 touchdowns.
All right. I formation, different look this time for the West as they start things with number 12, Ryan Weiland, under center for the first time. Number 20, Rashad Johnson, is the tailback. He has it off the right side. He's looking for room, and he's banged down. Now a flag comes in late. We'll keep an eye on this. Across the 20 to the 24-yard line. So a gain of 4 on the play momentarily, but we will check the flag as number 20, Johnson, takes it to the 4, and that's a 5'7", 160-pounder out of Chester. And it's going to move the West back.
Yep, holding.
Holding is the call. Spot foul from the 24, so they'll take it back to the 14-yard line and turns into 1st and 16. So keep an eye on this on the West here as they will try it again. Looks like the same offensive line as the first series. Into the game now at split end is Darrell Jackson. He split to the left side. Split to the far side, number 17, Jack Veazey out of Harrington. Shotgun look this time for Weiland. Backs to either side. Takes that shotgun snap. Looking now, the flags here pre-snap. So they'll try this again. Different look for the defense here for the East. Paul Samaru in the defensive backfield now. Joined there by Kevin White. Number 10 is Kevin Maloney out of Haverford. Number 25 is Dante Gee of Academy Park. He's in there at defensive end. Also in a defensive end, Natar Lloyd Henderson, 6'4", 310-pounder out of Upper Darby, alongside of Justin Fremont of Strathaven. Number 40 in white is Michael Chicano, 6'2", 210-pounder for Haverford. He's lined up at the right defensive end. Number 24 in at linebacker, Terrence White out of Academy Park as well. Backs to either side, splits to either side. Wyland firing to the outside, incomplete, looking for his tight end, Cleary. On the out in the left flat, but overshoots the big senior from Garnet Valley, Tom Cleary, Garnet Valley's leading receiver, 6 touchdown receptions on the season. But Wayland, 0 for his first 3 throwing it, now sets up second down and about.
Yeah, he's getting a little closer, 16. But he's got to get his rhythm a little bit better. I think the two penalties certainly didn't help for this series. It also set them in a heck of a hole. It's second and forever.
Now at the 9-yard line, So that spot foul was not from the 24-yard line. That spot foul must have been in the backfield. So here we go. Second down and 21. High formation, they toss to the left. Looking for room is Johnson. Looking for gets a block from Sullivan. But good pursuit from the backside. And Samaru and number 50, Brian Layden. One of the smallest defensive linemen in Delaware County this year, but was first team all Delco and a key to that Springfield defense that won them the Central League and took them to the District 1 final.
When you see four defenders rushing to get the ball and stretching that runner out, and there's only one or two blockers out there, that is a serious problem, and that play had nowhere to go from almost the time the ball was snapped.
Layden at just 5'9", 175 pounds, but was easily the best defensive lineman we saw this year. Incredible quickness, double-digit sacks on the year, just a tremendous season for the senior. All right, third and 20. Wayland, with Sullivan on his right hip, has trips to the right side. Tight end to the left is Cleary. Wayland takes the snap. Back to pass, has time, fires deep down the right sideline on a fly pattern, incomplete. Overshoots his man, number 5, Jordan O'Donnell out of Harrington.
Who was well covered.
Very well covered. So again, good work from the secondary here for the East thus far. And now with a 7-0 lead and 8:28 to play here in the opening quarter, the East stands to get the ball in pretty good field position again. Barring something incredible from the punter, Najee Lathan.
Yeah, he got a nice punt off last time, but it did roll a good 15 yards. If we can do that again.
Flegel and White stand at the hash marks, awaiting the punt. And Lathan will receive this one about 5 yards deep in his end zone here. So, see what Lathan can do to get the West out of trouble and tilt the field a little bit. Takes the snap. Booms one. Ooh. Terrific kick. Going to back up White onto his side of midfield. Juggles it. Picks it up. Picks across the 50. Dances away across the 45. Still on his feet across the 40 and down to the 39-yard line before he's wrapped up there by number 26, Khalaf Jihad out of Chester. So Kevin White dances his way for 14 on the return. And now the East will start things at the 39-yard line.
15-yard. Only took two plays to score last time. Let's see what they can do this time.
All right. Different personnel in there at this point. Alex Bratzis into the backfield along with John Kim. Bratzis from Strathaven, Kim from Haverford. And now Kim moves to a slot position on to the left of the formation. Trips left for the East. Jenkins out there as well along with Joe Okendo. Oh. Brian Allen from Springfield is your new quarterback, and now pre-snap flags.
Troy, the Jenkins just jumped.
Now this, again, is not uncommon in an all-star game in a Hero
Bowl.
These guys have had 2 weeks of practice off and on, really, and not a whole lot to work on in terms of formations. So
no.
All different players, and you try to get some continuity as best you can with limited practice time, but you do get a lot of pre-snap fouls in a game like this. Tight end to the right side is Dan Allen out of Penwood. Now he comes split to the right side. So four wide, three to the left. Bratzis is the fullback alongside of Brian Allen. Allen, the quarterback, gives to Bratzis, who dances his way across the middle, 40-yard line, down to the 35, maybe the 34.
So pretty to watch him run.
Bratzis found some room there, and he is Ursinus College bound this fall. He's been fun to watch the last 3 years at Strathaven, a 3-year starter. Gain of 11 for Bratsis. Not too bad to get things started. Brings up second down and call it a long four.
Second and six.
Bratsis wearing number 26 tonight. Brian Allen, the left-hander, back to pass on second down. Dances away from trouble, sprinting to his left. Eyes still downfield, and they've got him wrapped up this time. Brian Dougherty says no. The Ridley linebacker tracks down Allen and drops him for a big loss back outside the 40-yard line. So all the real estate that Bratsis picks up lost on the following play. Terrific coverage by the West secondary. Eddie Bird and Jordan O'Donnell of Harrington in the secondary right now.
And Dougherty was, of course, all Delco, all Central.
Yep.
And we saw and heard about him all year long.
Trey Hinchy checks into the game, defensive end from Ridley, replaces number 41 Ryan Donegan of Garnet Valley. Hinchy, a good pass rusher. And on third down and about 14, not a bad idea to get a rusher in there. Allen in the gun. Bratsis on his right hip this time. They roll to that right side. Allen with his eyes downfield is the left-hander. Flag on the play. Is caught by Cam. Terrific catch inside, just inside the sideline. He's going to be just shy of a first down, but we will check the flag. This is in the neighborhood of holding. A fine throw from Allen, an even better catch from John Kim, but I think this is going backwards. Flag sitting back at the 46-yard line, and if this is a spot foul, this is a killer.
Well, Milton Jones, number 70, huge, huge player, was in the backfield almost immediately and pressuring the quarterback. Yeah, holding on the West.
You mentioned huge. Milton Jones, 6'5", 320 out of Glenn Mills, and it is indeed offensive holding. This pushes the ball back to the east side of midfield. So they'll have it at their own 44-yard line. Brings up third down and forever.
What's he got there? 10,
27.
23.
Third and 27 upcoming. All right. Lyman, Dougherty, the Ridley linebackers in the game now. Joined there in the middle by number 26, Khalaf Jihad. Back to pass is Allen. Dances away from one man. Eyes downfield. Now going to take it and run. Cuts inside of Dougherty. Dances away from Jihad. And he spins his way down near the 40-yard line. So good work from Allen to take it back to the west side of midfield, but still well short of a first down. So Allen turned Dougherty that time.
Allen this year had 205 carries for 1,024 yards, 12.5 yards a carry.
Tremendous, tremendous
I'm
player.
Sorry, 5 yards per carry. I'm sorry, 12 touchdowns.
So he takes it to the 41, still 12 yards shy of a first down, and the punt team comes on for the East. This will be Jack Soslow out of the Haverford School, standing awaiting the snap. Brian Allen still in the game, though.
That's a lot of respect for the West, because normally you just...
Oh, wait, no, they're going to line up for a field goal. Are you kidding?
Really?
He's going to try it from 58 yards. Soslow, Allen to hold, ball spotted, kick is away. It's going to be well short and well wide, but hey, Soslow says, yeah, give me a shot at it. So... Well, field goal goes wide left.
The snap was muffed a little bit. He had to pick it up, so it wasn't a great attempt. But
right,
hey,
but
it's a fun game. Let's do some fun stuff.
A 58-yard field goal try, and you know, I was saying, all right, well, Soslow doubles as the kicker and the punter. You'd think, okay, it's fourth and 12. You'd punt him and punt and pin him deep here. But when Allen came back on the field, just caught me off guard for a minute there. All right, so for the West, they will start at their own 20-yard line, and actually not a bad strategy with high school football rules. You miss it, the ball goes to the 20-yard line anyway. So chances are if you're punting, you probably put it in the end zone. So why not take a shot? So the head coach for the East is Drew Pearson out of Delco Christian. He's joined by several assistants who we will name momentarily. But Dan Fisher now into the game. The Pencrest quarterback is under center and ready to go for the West here. Going to give inside. This is Sullivan out of Chichester going absolutely nowhere. He's met there by number 50, Brian Layton, along with number 7, Sam Romanofsky, defensive lineman out of Haverford. So Fisher into the game at quarterback. Fisher fresh off the 100-meter dash champion in the Central League this year. So good wheels for the guy wearing number 2 tonight.
Yeah, fortunately there's nobody on the track to stop you.
Yeah, that's right. But he did his share of running and throwing for Pencrest this past year as well. All right, two Ridley receivers in the slot, Hinchy and Jasir Minor. Two receivers split as well, and Fisher on second down and 10, back to pass. looking under heavy pressure from Layden, dances away from it, now sprints to his left, and he is caught from behind. Good work and good pursuit from the backside there by number 15. In white, that's Nate Cusimano from Sun Valley.
I'll tell you, the defensive lines in both on both these teams are doing a great job putting pressure on the quarterback. You know, there is no blitzing allowed, so this is just guts-up jam football, and they're doing a very nice job. And there are some big boys out there on both sides of that ball, so defense has definitely got the upper hand right now.
The West with negative total yardage on the offensive side of the ball right now, with now in their third possession, third and 12. Fisher, two receivers to either side. Fullback is Sullivan on his right hip. Back to pass, looking, has time. Deep down the right sideline, has a man out there. And a leaping catch by Trey Hinchy. He dances away from man at the 45 and lunges to midfield. Ball pops out, but he was already down. And how's that for some positive yardage? Gain of 31 on the play.
Great, great play. He was well covered. The ball was thrown exactly where it needed to go. He reached up, grabbed it, and brought it back down. Terrific play. Couldn't have asked for anything better, and really extremely well covered. The ball had to be exactly where it was thrown, otherwise it was an incomplete pass.
You're right, Mike. Terrific coverage, but Hinchy at 6'3", just climbed the ladder, went up and got it, and now nose of the football on the midfield stripe, and the West in business now, trailing 7-0. Clock ticks, 3:35, 3:34 and counting to play here in this first quarter. I formation behind Fisher. Give us to the tailback and going absolutely nowhere. In fact, backwards is Johnson. He runs into big number 70 in white. That's Natar Lloyd Henderson, 6'4", 310 out of Upper Darby. So not much going for Rashad Johnson at 5'7", 160.
No, generally when you run into a brick wall, you tend to lose. And that's one big kid.
So I'll try it again from midfield, second down and 10. Henderson headed to Valley Forge Military Academy in the fall. Honorable mention All-Delco a year ago. He's alongside of Brian Layden, first-team All-Delco at 175 pounds. So, all right, back to passing is Fisher. Dances away from one man, now back to his left. Tuckson, here he goes, across 50, across the 45, lowers the shoulder, runs through one tackle, two tackles, and ridden out of bounds finally by Okuda. But a gain of 14 yards. By Dan Fisher, well, 13 we'll call it. But Fisher making something out of nothing, and not too bad. And another West first down. So the West on the move a little bit here. As the East has had really a number of good plays defensively, but starting to bend a little bit. Receivers split to either side now. Jack Veazey to the right. To the left, Darrell Jackson out of Carl O'Hara. Hinchy is your tight end to the left. Backs to either side of Dan Fisher, who's in the gun. Now they split two right wide receivers to the right. Fisher back, looking to that right side, under pressure up the middle. Now steps away from one man, flag on the play. This is probably holding, probably coming back. And Henderson comes from the backside and punishes Fisher, dropping him for a loss. So my guess is you'd probably take the penalty here if indeed it is holding. And yes, it is. So Natar Lloyd Henderson came bursting through there and was just flat-out tackled. Still got up and still had a sack there, but rather than second 11, they're going to back this thing up from the 44-yard line and turn it into first down and a bundle. First and about, 27, 26. So back to their own 46-yard line is the West offense. Clock ticks, or clock stopped now because of the penalty, but 2:16, now they restart at 2:12, 2:11 and counting to play in this first quarter. East on top, 7-0 on the strength of a Colin DeGalbo to Nick Costello connection, 47 yards on the opening series of the game for the East. All right, Fisher will try it again. First down and 27. I formation behind Fisher. Give his to Johnson off right tackle. He runs it out to the midfield stripe, and that's about it. So not too bad there. Gain of about six for Johnson. Aside from the quarterback scramble, that's the best running play of the night.
Yeah, that kind of running play will keep the lineman a little more honest and won't be cheating in so much for that pass. Because, you know, when you have to throw 40% of the time and you've got yardage like this to make, obviously they're expecting a pass. So they've got to keep them a little honest. What do we got here?
Timeout on the field. This is an official's timeout, I believe.
Just equipment.
With an equipment issue.
Yep.
So, All right.
Oh, now we got full timeout.
All right, full timeout. This is an official's timeout. Oh, no, they're going to wave them back on the field. Well, they're saying they're
maybe not.
Well, half the officials are waving the offense to the sideline, and the other half is bringing the defense back on the field. So, all right. So, all right, they're taking a break. We're going to take a short timeout with them. We'll be back in 30 seconds. The West on the move, trying to tie this game. They trail it 7-0 here in the 39th Annual Hero Bowl.
The bank will be closing soon, Chris.
I'm just making a deposit.
The bank is now closed.
Well, I need to make payroll tomorrow.
Please stop back during normal business hours.
I can't. I run a business during normal business hours.
We'll see you then.
It's time to bank human again. At TD Bank, we know what you need to run a business. That's why we're open late and weekends, too. TD Bank, America's most convenient bank.
Member FDIC.
Welcome back to the 39th Annual Hero Bowl. Clock ticks, 1:20 and counting to play here in the first quarter. Second down and about 23 for the West. Trips to the right. Fisher in the shotgun. Fires a little bubble screen to the outside. It is caught there and across the midfield stripe, but not much more there for Jasir Minor out of Ridley. Gain of a yard for Jasir. But not much doing. Good pursuit there by Kajana Gordon of Sun Valley. So it's turned into third and long. First catch of the night for Jasir Minor.
Third and 22.
All right.
We've got 61 seconds left in the first quarter of play.
Well, Mike, it's been a interesting first quarter. Both teams sort of trading punches here, figuratively, thankfully.
Right, right.
Not literally. Everybody's been well behaved thus far, but all right. The West will try it again. Three receivers to the right. Shotgun look for Fisher. Back, looking to his left, and they drag a tight end out there. Oh. One-handed grab by Trey Hinchy inside the 30-yard line, just shy of a first down, but it's going to give him a shot to go for it on fourth down. What a grab. Terrific coverage again by Flegel, but Trey Hinchy has had two highlight film grabs here on this drive, and now you're set up for fourth and about a yard and a half.
Wow, that was quite a catch. I mean, like you said, two catches. Now we got timeout for the West, which is a good idea because a couple yards to go. Let's figure out what we're going to do.
Hinchy, two grabs now for 50 yards. And not too bad. And both big plays on third down. Again, the third and forever, they threw a deep to him when they split him out wide for a 31-yard gain that got him to midfield. And now near midfield, still stalling. I like the call, too. They spread, put everybody on the right side, trips right, and then just drag the tight end. He's the only guy out in the pattern on this left side.
And I think what's happened with the West is, you know, they were looking for more wide-open receivers, and they haven't been getting it. And I think that kind of disarmed the quarterback who was trying to throw it a little bit longer, get it away from any kind of defense. But now I think he's just trying to drop it where it needs to go. You know, there is a risk, obviously, that he'll be a little short and he'll get intercepted. But, boy, you can't keep throwing him, you know, 6 yards beyond where your receiver is. So they've done it, and they made two great grabs so far. So this could be fun.
And right now, the East is going to have to figure out who can match up. Again, you're stuck in man-to-man defense. You're going to have to find somebody who can cover the 6'3" guy. And right now, they have not found an answer just yet for Trey Hinchy. Hinchy is your tight end to the left, two receivers to the right, fourth and a yard and a half. I formation behind Fisher. Hard count, turns, gives to the tailback Johnson. He has some room for momentarily, nope. But it closes quickly, and they've stopped him short of the first down.
Boy, oh boy.
Great work by Matt Okuda and Big 70, Natar Lloyd Henderson, and Dante Gee from Academy Park combined on the tackle. Now a flag comes in late, and let's see. This was post-play after the stop, so if this is after a change of possession, I don't know. I think... Let's see here. The officials will wait. No gain on the play. And if this is post-possession, you would think that the East will take over on downs here.
Sure.
But I don't know. The East offense is making their way back toward the sideline here. They're going to get unsportsmanlike conduct against the West.
Wait.
But now first down. All right, let's see. Now, they're going to say, all right, I think the official just pointed the wrong direction because they're bringing the East defense back on the field?
Looks like we have unsportsmanlike conduct.
And the East, the West is leaving the offense on the field, so this must have been a call against the East.
No,
not sure what it
was. They didn't reset the chains either.
They didn't reset the right. Well, they didn't march off a penalty. Is my question. If it's unsportsmanlike, I don't know how they didn't march off 15 yards. Anyway, Fisher back to pass, firing down the seam, looking, and it is incomplete, nearly intercepted. Looking for number four, Trey Hinchy, but he couldn't quite come up with it, and then nearly picked off
by Kevin White, Upper Darby.
Kevin White from Upper Darby at the goal line. All right, so the West just says, hey, never mind, we're just going to snap the ball and go with it here before anybody talks anyone out of that penalty. But
it's interesting, there were no yardage. I don't know what's
right. They moved the ball up to the 25 yard line. I don't understand how that yardage wasn't marked off. At any rate, second down and 10. Two receivers to the right. Now three to the right. Single setback is Sullivan out of Chichester. Back to pass is Fisher on a play fake. Rolling to his right. Eyes downfield. And now coming in late and low and making the stop. Sacking him back at the 30-yard line is number 16, Breon Cotman-Cole. Nicely done by the Penwood senior. I'm going to say that 10 times, and I know it's redundant. They're all seniors. I get it. But nice work by Cotman-Cole to drop him back at the 30-yard line, and now third and 15 all of a sudden. So if they can come up with a big
Boy, he just closed with great speed.
And again, you have to do that with Fisher, the way he runs.
Yeah, I was going to say, Fisher is certainly no slacker. Oh, we got the end of the first quarter.
So loss of five on the sack, but the West in business when we come back to continue this drive and start the second quarter. One quarter in the books. 7-0 East, but West on the move here at the Delaware County Hero Bowl. Glad you're joining us on HavenFootball.net.
This year's high school football season is just around the corner, and HavenFootball.net is the place to be for all the Panther football action. You'll be able to check scores around the Central League as well as key teams throughout Pennsylvania in the PIAA system. HavenFootball.net for great game statistics and articles. If you're into Haven football or simply high school football, there's no better place to be than HavenFootball.net.
This is CBS 3 Sports Director Beasley Reese, and you're listening to High School Football on www.havenfootball.net.
Welcome back to second quarter action. Brian Carroll bringing you play-by-play, joined by Mike Mayer doing the color commentary, engineering, and everything else here on havenfootball.net's broadcast of the 39th Annual Hero Bowl in Delaware County. I will also wish a very happy birthday to my first niece. I remember this very day 6 years ago when my niece was born the morning of the Hero Bowl. I remember mentioning that on the broadcast from over at Widener 6 years ago, but happy sixth birthday to Sydney. Anyway, we hope to see you soon, maybe this weekend, to celebrate that birthday. So looking forward to seeing you, honey. Anyway, happy birthday, Sydney, and happy football to everybody else here. Third and 15. Fisher of Pencrest, the Pencrest quarterback, with four wide receivers, two to either side in the shotgun. Back to pass. Pressure from the backside, steps through it, and now he's banged down again. Nice work again by number 16 on the consecutive plays. Breon Cotman-Cole with a stop back outside the 30-yard line. Loss of another yard.
You know, Cotman-Cole's going to get the stat, but I got to tell you, that was really assisted because he got the single tackle, obviously. But those linemen are just pinching in and really forcing him to run for his life. And Cole's right there to pick up the pieces.
And how about the coverage? I mean, Fisher is a big, big guy. Seeing the field is not an issue for somebody at 6'2". And, again, Fisher, an accomplished quarterback, he's headed to IUP this fall. The coverage is just fantastic in the defensive secondary. So,
and strictly man-to-man, which means that they've got pretty evenly matched people, obviously.
Yep. All right, so the West. Now looking at 4th and 16 from their own 31. And now whistle pre-snap here. Timeout West. And they're going to want to talk about it. So, again, it gives me a chance usually when we get these moments to talk a little bit more about some of the guys that we will probably not call their names as readily. The guys that are not handling the football,
right.
And that's the big guys up front. So that for the West, I'm going to rip through the offensive and defensive line tonight. It includes John Barlow from Chichester, Ryan Donegan from Garnet Valley, two Marple Newtown guys, Brian Brosco and Vince Shivardelli, Ron Soschetti from Ridley, Dominic Haslam from Chester, Ray Drulick from Chichester, two more Garnet Valley guys, Shane Stabinski and John T. Pasquale. Najee Lathan's been the punter tonight, but he'll see some time on the lines as well from Glenn Mills. Two big Ridley guys, Jesse Lesher at 6'3", 320, and Pat Najmola, 6'2", 240. Milton Jones from Glenn Mills, Carlos Ruiz, not the Phillies catcher, but
right.
The tackle from Pencrest at 6'3", 300. Colin McAllister from Chichester, Cardinal O'Hara's Andrew Gallagher, Dom Toludo from Marple Newtown, and Chichester's Zach Marvel. So those are the big guys up front for the West on offense and defense. And, you know, the guys handling the ball, chances are we're going to mention you once or twice. But we'll get to the East big guys in a moment. Fourth and 16. High formation dotted by Johnson. Receivers split to either side. Back to pass. Seven-step drop for Fisher. He wants it down the seam. He's got Hinchy. Juggles off his shoulder pads. Incomplete. Flag comes in at the line of scrimmage. We'll keep an eye on that. Hinchy with his head in his hand saying, oh, I could have come up with that one down near the five-yard line.
Well, Jennings really forced. I mean, he bobbled the ball, and then Jennings tackled him, which really took him away from the ball, and that's really what saved the catch, or save it from being a catch.
All right. The flag was dropped at the 30-yard line, 4th and 16. If it's against the West, my guess is the East is saying, yeah, we're declining. They're going to take the football. But the officials are talking about it. This may be an issue against the West, against the East defense. One big penalty has already sustained this drive for the West. But the East defense is jogging off the field here. They're pretty confident that this is, yes, indeed it is, a foul against the West. Penalty declined, and the East defense bends but does not break. And they take over first and 10 at their own 30-yard line, moving right to left now in this second quarter with a 7-0 lead. All right. All right, substitutions now in the game for the East. We'll get to that in a moment. Well, here we go. Colin DeGalbo is your quarterback. Nick Malone on his right hip, the halfback out of Strathaven. Receivers split to either side and slot to either side. Mark Everton to the right. And a tight end, or wing back, now shifting from left to right. Play fake to Malone, now keeping it as DeGalbo. Looking for running room off the right side. Cuts across the 30 and falls forward to the 34-yard line. So DeGalbo takes four on first down. Second down and six upcoming. The East, again, with their one possession so far, or two possessions so far, has kept it mostly on the ground. You know, they came up with a big throw, obviously, with a 47-yard touchdown pass off of the arm of DeGalbo, but they've been looking to keep it on the ground. All right. Two receivers to the left of the formation. One to the right is Allen Ruffin. Single setback again is Malone. He's on the left hip of DeGalbo. Second down and six. Ruffin in motion. Give is to Nick Malone off the right side. He bounces to the outside, and he has good speed that steps out of bounds. Couldn't quite get his angle there and keep his balance inside the sideline there. But
close,
he's out at the 39-yard line,
yes,
close to a first down.
Close to a first, but a yard away.
Gain of five by Nick Malone.
And, of course, Malone is extremely dangerous running down the sidelines.
Third down and one upcoming. Yeah, Malone, really a find for Strathaven this year. Showed flashes near the end of his junior year, but huge senior season for the 180-pounder. Third and a yard. Give us to Malone one more time, and he is wrapped up in the backfield. Now shakes a tackle and plows his way forward through guys much bigger than him. Gain of two, but, boy, that could have been a loss of five. Instead, it's a first down for the East. Good, tough running from Nick Malone.
Well, that is Malone. You know, never say die. And, you know, you kids listening out there to this game, that is the essence of any good football player. You know, you're not down till you're down. Keep moving the feet. Keep digging it. Let the whistle blow. You keep playing the game.
He's headed to Widener this fall. Hopes to play a little football there. Receivers split to either side, slot to either side. DeGalbo sends his tight end Higgins in motion. Back is DeGalbo, looking all sorts of time. Seam pattern, looking for Everton, who's got it. Sheds a tackle at 30 and at the 20, and Mark Everton will take it on in. Touchdown for the East.
Boy, that was too easy.
59 yards they go. And DeGalbo right on the money with that one. He is 2-for-2 throwing it. Touchdowns of 47 and now 59 yards, respectively. My goodness.
He's just picking up where he stopped off with Bonner.
And what a tremendous pocket. I mean, they have the play fakes inside have seemed to have held the defensive line in check. And, boy, it's given
him
time.
Yep.
And he's delivered two perfect strikes. Brian Allen will hold for Soslow on to attempt his second extra point. Ball spotted. Kick is away. It is up, and it is good. Soslow, 2-for-2 on the extra points, and it's 14-0 for the East. All right, we're going to take a short break. Come on back for the West with another opportunity to answer, but this time the hill has gotten a little bit steeper. They trail at 14-0 here in the second quarter of the 39th Annual Hero Bowl.
The world of internet sports broadcasting is rapidly expanding into the amateur ranks. Schools, high school and college, as well as minor league sports clubs, are finding out about the hottest new streamer on the planet, EasyStream.com. In just minutes, your crew can have its sporting events live and on the internet. For more information, call 800-866-7510 or log on to EasyStream.com. EasyStream, streaming made easy.
This is Keith Jackson reminding you, you're listening to High School Football, right here on HavenFootball.net.
Well, Mark Everton is Bloomsburg bound this fall, but moments ago he was end zone bound on the receiving end of a 59-yard strike from Colin DeGalbo. Everton, one of Delaware County's leading receivers, 48 catches, 821 yards on the year, 7 touchdowns, averaged more than 17 yards per catch. And 59 of them on his first catch tonight. Soslow, high, end-over-end kick's going to back up his man into the end zone, and coming out with it is Cardinal O'Hara's number 10, and dropped at the 15-yard line is Darrell Jackson. So
there's a little inconsistency in the officiating back there.
Yeah. Mike Fisher on the stop. That's Sun Valley's linebacker. And in the meantime, the West offense. We'll try it again. And we'll get to see a Garnet Valley backfield to try it this time. Steve Flanagan in at quarterback, joined in the offensive backfield by Steve Pallas. Pallas spent most of his time on the in the defensive backfield. Second, he was an All-Delco second-team selection as a corner, but he's playing some running back and slot receiver tonight. So, wow, you've got five wide and one back here. And actually, yeah, you've got too many men on the field is what you have.
Oh,
okay. All right, Flanagan in the shotgun. Back to pass, looking to his left. Fires it, is juggled and dropped, and nice hit just in time to knock it loose. Kevin Maloney from Haverford jars the ball loose in and out of the hands of Darrell Jackson. So second down and 10 for the West. All right, we'll try it again from their 15-yard line. Also into the game now for the defense for the East is Alex Linton from Delco Christian. He's one of your linebackers, along with number 24 Terrence White of Academy Park. And the guy breaking up that last pass was Kevin Maloney. Layden DeGalbo. He's been your center for a good chunk of the night, but now he checks in on the defensive line, replacing Lloyd Henderson. Also into the game, Dasheem Harris from Penwood. He's in the defensive backfield. Paul Samaru, Kevin White, and number 14, Malik Ward of Lower Marion. Is your secondary. Flanagan, back to pass. Five-step drop. Looking left. Now he's going to tuck it and run. Scrambling out to his left. And he is knocked down there by Terrence White of Academy Park after a gain of just 3.
Well, you're right, Brian. The coverage is just overwhelming. They got nowhere to go with this ball.
Terrific, terrific coverage. And, you know, we've seen Kevin White for a couple of years. Just an absolute blanket for the Upper Darby defense. He is tremendous, and again, 2 years ago, that Upper Darby secondary, best in Delaware County. It was a no-fly zone for that team that advanced to the District 1 playoffs in 2013, and he's been fun to watch. Lathan on to punt it for the third time. His heels on the 5-yard line, takes the snap, steps into one, and booms another one. Terrific kick. It's going to come down between Everton and White, and some miscommunication is going to allow the West to take advantage of a roll all the way down to the 36-yard line. So White and Everton had it fall right between them. And Nice break there for the West, and Lathan might be your offensive MVP for the West at this point because the way he's been pounding the ball out of trouble deep in his own territory. But West has had their moments. A couple of big catches from Trey Hinchey on the offensive side of the ball, but at this point, they've got to find a way to get the offense going, trailing 14-0. And now the East looking to add to it with Brian Allen in at quarterback. Receivers to his right, Joe Okendo of Monsignor Bonner, or Bonner Prendergast, and Quabreem Jenkins of Penwood. Trips right now. Single receiver to the left, and the give inside is to Devos of Upper Darby across the 40, out to the 43. Good strong running by Linder Devos, gain of 6.
Absolutely, not much there, and he did a lot himself.
Todd Parker of Ridley in on the stop.
Number 30, Todd Parker.
Allen's going to bring it up, and now second and a long three. Brian Allen, you mentioned his stats for Springfield. He's another incredibly talented guy standing in that backfield and a big part of that 12-1 season for Chris Britton and the Springfield Cougars. Speaking of Chris Britton, he is one of the assistant coaches for the East tonight, but we'll mention all the assistants in a moment. Motion man is John Kim. Allen fakes, and they're keeping himself. Quarterback draw, bounces to the outside, and oh, nice tackle there.
Yep.
If 35 doesn't stop him, he's running forever. John Barlow of Chichester hung on for dear life. First down for the East, but that could have been a whole lot worse as Allen was just starting to get going.
And Allen did that all year long. All year long.
Out to the 48-yard line, first and 10 now for the East. Head coach is Tony Beatty from Chester, but Kyrie Cooper from Chester, Chris Gicking of Marple Newtown, John Anderson of Ridley, Brent Davis of Chester, Dennis Decker of Ridley, Tom Ryan of Radnor, James Howard of Chester, Mike Willard from Marple, Wallace Wade of Chester, Dennis Shaw of Chester, Royale Edwards, Strathaven alum, from Glenn Mills, and Chris Farmer are your assistant coaches for the West. We'll get back to that in a moment. Here's Allen firing. The left-hander is complete on the near sideline. A first down yardage right into the arms of Dan Allen of Penwood. They'll mark him out at the 40-yard line. Gain of 12. In on the stop was Zahir Caldwell of Episcopal Academy. But first completion of the night for Brian Allen.
Now, if East does this right, they've got a little less than 6 minutes to go. They should just march us down and score and then walk into halftime with a three-touchdown lead, and that would make it very tough on the West to come back.
5:45 and counting to play here for halftime. Now they get two quarterbacks in the game. DeGalbo takes the snap, rolls to his right, and incomplete. Underthrows his man, Joe Okendo. That's the first incompletion off the arm of Colin DeGalbo.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was a little trickery there. He had Allen and DeGalbo side by side. He could snap it to either one of them.
Yeah, DeGalbo, I don't know if he ever didn't get his hand on the handle on the ball or what it was. That was really thrown well short, and actually it had been complete. That was a nice little play.
Yeah. Second down and 10. Allen stays in the game at quarterback. John Kim, slot to the right. Three receivers to the right now. Single to the near side is Dan Allen. Linder Devos is the halfback on his right hip in the shotgun. They give it to Devos. Straight ahead he goes. He spins across the 40 and tumbles across the 35. They're going to bring up third down and short as Devos picks up seven more. I am very impressed with the run blocking of the East. They are giving up some size, and it's not showing.
It is. I mean, they got some big boys in there, but yes, you are right. They are really manhandling these guys. They are quicker off the ball right now and getting to their blocks in time. And the East has the kids that can pummel right through that line and get there so quick that all you really need to do is get a body in front of your defender, and he's gone.
Third and about three. Brian Allen in the gun. Devos again on his right hip. Two receivers either side. Allen's going to keep himself off right tackle. Has a first down and more. 30, 25, 20. Now foot race to the 15. And down inside the 10-yard line goes Brian Allen. They'll spot him. They'll mark him down right at the 10-yard line. Give him 23 more. And another first down and goal to go for the East.
That was a pull and trap by 64 Ed Racine. All 330 pounds of him. He did exactly what he needed to do. And just sprung him big time. Didn't move after that, but he didn't have to.
Brian Allen did all the moving there. Terrific, terrific speed. First and goal to go. They got four cracks at it from the 10-yard line now. 4:37 and counting to play here in the first half. 14-0 East. and looking for more. Trips left, single receiver to the right. Devos is your halfback.
Single set backfield.
Back to pass is Allen. On first and to goal, fires across the middle. It is complete for a touchdown to number 23, Quabreem Jenkins of Penwood. Allen to Jenkins, a 10-yard scoring strike. And just like that, 20-0, extra point pending with 4:17 to play before halftime.
Probably did that a little faster than they wanted to, but they'll take it. And now Wes is really in a hole. They're going to have to come back. They've got time. They really need to put some points on the board before this half is over.
All three touchdowns come through the air tonight. Soslow onto it, attempt the extra point. Brian Allen will hold.
Soslow to attempt the extra point.
Ball snapped, spotted, kick is away, and it is good. We're going to take a short time out, be back to talk more about the coaches, the big guys up front, and, well, a whole bunch more football still to come on the 39th Annual Hero Bowl on HavenFootball.net.
Nobody covers the Delaware County high school sports scene like the Delaware County Daily Times. No matter what the season or the type of sport, football to soccer to lacrosse to wrestling to track to basketball and baseball, virtually every high school sport for every high school in the Delaware County. For complete coverage of today's games, pick up your copy of the Delaware County Daily Times wherever newspapers are sold, or go online at www.delcotimes.com. If it happened in Delaware County, it's in the Delaware County Daily Times.
This is Dan Baker, public address announcer for the Philadelphia Phillies and the Philadelphia Eagles. And you're listening to High School Football right here on HavenFootball.net.
Thank you, Mr. Baker, for sending it back to us. 21-0, the East over the West here late in the second quarter. Jack Soslow ready to kick it away. Standing deep to return, Jasir Miner. For the West, high end-over-end kick. It's going to take a hop, and it's going to come down to number 20. This is Johnson of Chester straight ahead. Ooh. And now cuts through. Oh, wow, probably a touchdown-saving tackle from number 41, Mike Fisher. Johnson starting to get his head of steam there.
Boy, he was one man away from going the other 60 yards.
They knock him down at the 28, and the West will start there with slightly better field position than they've had in the last couple of tries.
Well, West got to get it together now. They've been getting close on some of these passes. They just got to get the ball in there and take their chances. This stage of the game, being conservative isn't going to pay anything. It's one game. Let's just go out and do it.
Steve Flanagan led the triple option offense of Garnet Valley. He's got an eye formation behind him here. Tight end to the right, receivers are split. Flanagan, back to pass, pressure, and he has no, shakes the tackle, and still on his feet, scrambling to his right, fires to the near sideline, coming back to the ball, but not hanging on, was Darrell Jackson. Oh, my, Flanagan with an amazing effort, but Jackson's eyes got a little too big.
Well, actually, I was watching him, and as the ball came to him, he wanted to check to the right to see if he had running room. And, you know, we hear it a million times, don't take your eyes off the ball until you caught it and you're secure. And he just, you know, he was right there. He knew he had it. He looked to his right to make sure he could turn that way and run, and lost the ball.
Well, that could have been a loss of 12.
Yep.
You know, and a terrific effort by Flanagan just to get away from it. Second and 10, they'll try it again. Under center is Flanagan, same eye formation behind him, back to pass again, looking, pressure again, fires to the near sideline, it's Hinchy with yet another catch, he sheds one tackle, he's across the 35, and forward progress, I think, will give him about the 37. Hinchy with his third catch of the game, by far the shortest, but still is going to bring up third down and short. And
right. Well, they got to make those throws, they just got to make the throws and take their chances. It's... You're playing a game. It's for fun. Let's just try to make it happen, guys, because, you know, nobody wants to lose this game by, you know, 21 or 30 or whatever the point's going to be. Just make the plays, and we'll deal with it.
Third down and two. I have Hinchy for three catches for 58 yards. Been by far the most productive player for the West offensively. Flanagan takes the snap and just going to just right over center, just quarterback keeper. He's slammed down by Justin Fremont, but Flanagan picks up four and a West first down. Heads-up play there from the Garnet Valley senior.
Stop, number 75, Justin Fremont.
Fremont joined up front now by DeGalbo on the defensive line. Nate Cusimano of Sun Valley. And number 7, Sam Romanofsky. Defensive backfield for the East right now is Kajana Gordon on the left corner. Right corner is Malik Ward. Flegel in the defensive backfield along with number 30, Rosciato Jenkins of Upper Darby. Two receivers to the left, I formation behind Flanagan. First and 10 from the 40, moving left to right. Flanagan back to pass, pressure again, now rolling to his left and loses his footing. The turf monster reached up and grabbed him for a loss of two just as he started to turn upfield.
I got to tell you, so far during this game, if the West didn't have bad luck, they'd have no luck. They just, every possible situation, they just can't seem to put it together. And, you know, it's just your worst nightmare in a game like this. You know, you practice. You come in, you want to have a good time, and you just can't turn anything around.
Jordan O'Donnell checks out of the game. Checking into the game at wide receiver now is Bob McCafferty out of Pencrest. He's split to the right, slot to the right as well. Tight end is to the left side. On second and 11, Flanagan back to pass, fires to the near flat. It is complete to Sullivan out of the backfield, and he's knocked down at the 41 after a gain of about three. Good stick there by Kajana Gordon.
I tell you, the East is not letting the receivers from the West get behind them, period. They'll take the ball anywhere, but they're not letting them behind them, and consequently, the West has nowhere to go when they make the completions.
All right, timeout with 1:47 to play here before halftime gives us a chance for the score 21-0 East on top. The East, talk about some of these big guys up front. Brian Layden, we've mentioned multiple times, and on the defensive line, and again, not a terribly big guy, one of the smallest linemen in the league, in the Central League this year, but first team all Delco at 170 yep. pounds. Tremendous season for Brian Layden. Other big guys up front, Haverford's Ben Miller. Playing some offensive line tonight. Matt Hatfar is of Upper Darby at 6 foot, 220 is in the game. Christian DeGalbo is the center, and he's playing some defensive line too. Julian Jamgochian of the Haverford School is playing some offensive line. Ed Racine of Sun Valley, you mentioned him earlier, big 64 with a key block on that third down run by Brian Allen. 6 foot, 330 pounds. Jason Miskett of Innerboro. Natar Lloyd Henderson, we've called his name several times, big 70 from Upper Darby, along with Scott Rucci on the offensive line. Scott Rucci, second team all Delco. His uncle Todd is a guy we remember from the New England Patriots from years back. Brian Ross, Justin Fremont, also seeing plenty of time on offensive and defensive lines. We'll get to the rest of the East coaching staff in a moment, but third and nine here. The West trying to get it going from their own 41-yard line. Flanagan under center, back to pass, looking, a little bit of time, eyes downfield, now he's under pressure, and he's going to be banged down after a gain of maybe two, before Sam Romanofsky drops him. And now fourth and eight, clock will tick.
Yeah, and the East took the timeout.
And now it stops, you're right, Mike, they called a quick timeout. The East trying to get the ball back one more time before half, and they will get the ball to start the second half.
And I'll tell you, the East defensive line is just overwhelming the West offensive line. It is just, you know, getting shoved back. The offense is giving up big yardage, and the quarterback just doesn't have time to find anybody. Coverage is good, but, you know, when you shorten that stance by, you know, from what you hope to be 7 seconds down to three or four, and he's got to start scrambling, it's tough to find somebody open, particularly in high school football.
I also want to mention a couple of guys tonight who were on the roster for the West, but unfortunately not able to participate. Alex Anderson of Radnor, all-Delco guy, four-year starter on that line for Radnor. He's headed to University of Pennsylvania this fall, not in the game tonight. John Sklar, also of Radnor, had three interceptions this year as a defensive back, but unfortunately not able to make it tonight. So, again, there's, you know, some guys from the East side as well, namely some Springfield lacrosse players. We'll mention them momentarily. But here now, on fourth down and about eight, the West looking to punt it away again. Lathan stands inside the 30-yard line awaiting the punt snap. White and Everton stand deep to return. Lathan booms another one. Terrific hang time, end over end. It's going to take a bounce inside the 25 and a West roll inside the 20. It's down there by Flanagan at the 19-yard line. So good kick from Lathan has gotten the West out of big-time field position trouble, but now can the defense hold up and really slow down this aerial assault from the East quarterbacks. Dom DeGalbo, 3 of 4 passing. I'm sorry, Dominic. I said Dom DeGalbo. It's Colin DeGalbo. 3 of 4. I'm sorry, 2 out of 3 passing. Both of those touchdown passes. 47 and 59 yards. Brian Allen, 2 of 3. And he has 22 yards and a 10-yard touchdown strike to his credit. So DeGalbo is your quarterback. 2 receivers to his right. Motion man is Mark Everton. They give it to him on a jet sweep, and now a little razzle-dazzle looking to throw it. His number 8. Now he's going to tuck it and run. This is Alan Ruffin of Academy Park trying to get a corner on this near sideline. Picks up a block from Everton and speeding down the sideline. Oh, he stepped out of bounds. Oh, my goodness. Ruffin is going to be... Ruffin's upset. He stepped out of bounds way back at the 25-yard line. A penalty flag comes in late. I think you're going to get a late hit here on the West. So you're going to probably tack in 15 more. But the East showing a little creativity there. Alan Ruffin was the quarterback at Academy Park this year. And so essentially you had a couple of extra quarterbacks on the field there. But couldn't get anything going. All right, so Ruffin takes it to the 25-yard line for a gain of 7. And now they're going to put 15 more on the end of it for a late hit. So Ruffin is a wide receiver tonight, but that's certainly a threat to throw it. He and the Knights, 2 years removed from their first ever District 1 AAA championship, still had a pretty good run into the District 1 playoffs this year for head coach Jason Vyshevsky. All right, ball at their own 40-yard line. DeGalbo, 2 receivers to his right. 1 to the left, John Kim is in the backfield with him. Ruffin motions. Back to passes to Galbo. Looking, stepping up. Sees Part right up the middle of the field. He's going to take advantage. Up across the 50, the 40, and out of bounds. Clock will stop as he steps out at the 36-yard line of the West. And now you might get yet another flag here. The West with some extracurriculars after the whistle. And all the way to the 36-yard line. Gain of 24. And now, if you tack 15 more on, I mean, you've just given them, if you're the West coaching staff, you've got to be beside yourself. You've just given them 30 yards with a minute and change to play before halftime, already trailing 21-0. And they're going to spot this at the 21-yard line. Ouch. So still with a minute 4 to play here before halftime and just 21 yards away from scoring again. And you have a tremendous leg. Over on that sideline. So you are in field goal range already.
Absolutely, and I'm sure you'd like to try it again if you had the opportunity. Although there's no doubt but the East wants to put this across the goal line here.
Soslow has already attempted one from 58 yards, so my guess is they're not going to be shy about trying from inside of 40. But you're right, Mike. They'll try to get 6 instead of 3 here. Wing to the left is Tyler Higgins of Bonner. He shifts to the right, and they roll to that right side. Now throwback screen to the left side, and one-handed grab. What a grab by Higgins. Short gain thanks to the effort of Milton Jones to drag him down, but roll to the right, screen back to the tight end to the left, and what a grab by Higgins. Clock will continue to run, 46 seconds, 45 seconds. Gain of about 3 on the play. DeGalbo sets the offense, trips to the right. Higgins, tight end to the left. DeGalbo back to pass, looking, has a man on the far sideline. It is caught for a touchdown.
Oh, what a
Alan
pass.
Ruffin with a beautiful throw. Ruffin goes up and gets it, and DeGalbo is just on fire right now. Pretty good coverage from Jack Diggory, but again, an even better throw from DeGalbo. Yeah. He is 5 out of 6 throwing it.
Nothing wrong with the coverage by Diggory. He had to go one spot and one spot only, and he got it there. I mean, you can't fault the coverage. He was right on top of him.
Ruffin's first catch of the game goes for 17 yards and a score, and Jack Soslow on to attempt his 4th extra point of this first half. Brian Allen will hold it. Ball spotted. Kick is away. Plenty of leg, and it is good. 28-0 with 30 seconds to play here before halftime. We'll keep it right here and give some thank yous to the volunteers on the east sideline over these last several weeks. We mentioned Drew Pearson is the head coach out of Delco Christian, but he's been joined over the last several weeks by Chris Britton, the head man at Springfield, Brad Gilbert of Upper Darby, Jason Vyshevsky, the head man at Academy Park, David Vyshevsky, who assists him at Academy Park, Nick Lincoln of Penwood, Kevin Williams of Penwood, and Lloyd Hill of Delco Christian. And hey, that East coaching staff has to be pretty pleased for the first
24
minutes.
I bet. I tell you, you know, people don't appreciate how hard this is. These are kids that have not played ball in 6 months. They're, you know, they've played it for years and years, so they warm up pretty quick, obviously, and they are, all of them, very, very good players. But still, you got to bring all these kids together, diverse backgrounds. You got to come up with some kind of playbook. It's got to be kept pretty simple. And you've only got, you know, a few hours a day for a couple of weeks to get this thing put together. And then, most importantly, you want to put it on a competitive game. And while it has not been as competitive as we have liked, I'll tell you, the West is there. I mean, they just have had the worst luck. Whether they've tripped, whether the ball's just out of reach, or just not getting it together. Hopefully the second half will be a lot more West-oriented, not so much East.
See some Strathaven alumni here in front of us. There's James Griffin, and we mentioned earlier Royale Edwards is one of the assistants for the West tonight. He's an assistant at Glenn Mills. All right, Lucas Maas fields the kickoff, one of the upbacks, and he takes it across the 25 and out to the 29-yard line and is stopped there by a host of East tacklers. 23 seconds to play here before half. The East on top, 28-0. That 83-yard scoring drive in just over a minute before halftime. 30 yards of it, thanks to West's personal foul penalties.
Yeah, that's, they got to settle down and just play football. Letting your temper get the better of you is never a good idea when you're playing for fun or playing for, you know, for any reason, really.
All right, back into the game at quarterback is Ryan Wayland out of Episcopal Academy.
Throw it down the field.
He sets up the offense with two receivers to his right, I formation behind him. Dotting the I is Rashad Johnson of Chester. On first and 10 from the 29, Wayland is going to be swarmed back at the 25-yard line.
I think it was a fumbled
snap. Yeah, busted play there off the snap. Now timeout and then a flag comes. Let's see. What are they going to call here? I think the, we'll see. Looked like the West was trying to get a timeout on the play, but a flag, I believe.
Do they have any timeouts left?
I don't know. Unsportsmanlike against the East. So, okay, well, you're going to get a 15-yard penalty.
5-yard penalty?
No, 5 yards. All right. Not 15.
I don't know.
Okay. All right, 13 seconds to play here before halftime.
First down, 9 yards.
Nearly, they are 70 yards from pay dirt. So, miracle time here for the West, knowing they have to kick it off to start the second half.
Right.
And so now, just try and execute. Let's try to make one big play at a time here if you're the West sideline. All right. Wayland takes the snap out of the shotgun. Looking. Going deep down the near sideline. Has a man out there, and it is in and out of the hands of Jackson. Cardinal O'Hara Sr., a diving effort out near the 40-yard line. Again, very good coverage from number 34, Kijana Gordon of Sun Valley.
But a good pass.
Very good pass. And that's the first deep ball of the night for the West that really, I think, had a good chance of being completed. A lot of fly patterns down the sidelines, and that by far was the closest to connect, aside from the completion to Trey Hinchy on that 31-yard grab early in that first quarter. All right. They'll try it one more time. Jordan O'Donnell split to the left. His Harrington teammate, Jack Veazey, split to the right. And with 6 seconds to go, fire underneath to Veazey, who makes the catch on the quick slant. Gordon makes the stop at the 39-yard line. So a gain of 9 on the play, and clock has struck 0 on the first half. So, well, gets Wayland his first completion of the half for a gain of 9. Maybe they can carry some momentum in and then out of that halftime locker room, because the West, aside from 3 big catches from Trey Hinchy, has had a hard time moving the football against a very tough East defense. And 4 touchdown passes off of the East quarterback's arms, 3 of them from Colin DeGalbo, has given the East a 28-0 lead here at halftime. So with that in mind, we will have more to talk about at halftime. We have a number of different things to talk about at halftime.
Well, we have the commercials. We're going to run to give everybody a break.
Yep.
And then we're going to run, come back, and we'll real quick run our little Memorial Day piece that we run every year at the Tierra Bowl to commemorate Memorial Day just passed. And then I think we'll discuss, there's some interesting news from the PIA regarding increasing the amount of classifications in general, but specifically for football, where we currently have single A through 4A, four different classifications. And they're talking about adding another two, and there's some issues about that as well. So we can talk about that, planning for the next season, and which is only a few months away, strangely enough. But it's always just a few months away when we come to this game. It just seems like it gets less and less time before we get to this point. So in any event,
summer's upon us, but again, we still have 24 minutes of good football here for a number of hardworking seniors on both the west and east sidelines, and their coaches who have dedicated a great deal of time to just a tremendous cause. So we are thankful to be here. Thankful you're joining us, either live or on the archive. Stick with us. We'll be back in just a few moments. You're listening live to high school football right here on HavenFootball.net.
Hi, my daughter has some coins. She'd like to turn them into cash.
Did you say cash advance?
Oh, no, coin counting.
I want to buy a dollhouse.
Congratulations. Would you like to hear about our mortgages?
Mortgage? No, she's seven.
Oh, sorry. We do not offer seven-year mortgages at this time.
No, coin counting.
It's time to bank human again. That's why at TD Bank, you can talk to a real person anytime. And yes, we have free customer coin counting. TD Bank, America's most convenient bank.
Member FDIC.
In the Outback, where there's wood, there's flavor. Wood fire grilled favorites, only at Outback. Introducing our new thick natural cut ribeye. Juicy and marbled, this steak is truly a cut above the rest. And be sure to try our seasoned, perfectly grilled salmon or tender pork porterhouse. Get in for wood fire grilled favorites. Only at Outback Steakhouse.
Visit Outback Steakhouse in Springfield at Old Sprawl Shopping Center on Baltimore Pike.
Nobody covers the Delaware County high school sports scene like the Delaware County Daily Times. No matter what the season or the type of sport, football to soccer to lacrosse to wrestling to track to basketball and baseball, virtually every high school sport for every high school in the Delaware County. For complete coverage of today's games, pick up your copy of the Delaware County Daily Times wherever newspapers are sold, or go online at www.delcotimes.com. If it happened in Delaware County, it's in the Delaware County Daily Times.
The world of internet sports broadcasting is rapidly expanding into the amateur ranks. Schools, high school and college, as well as minor league sports clubs, are finding out about the hottest new streamer on the planet, EasyStream.com. In just minutes, your crew can have its sporting events live and on the internet. For more information, call 800-866-7510 or log on to EasyStream.com. EasyStream, streaming made easy.
This year's high school football season is just around the corner, and HavenFootball.net is the place to be for all the Panther football action. You'll be able to check scores around the Central League as well as key teams throughout Pennsylvania in the PIAA system. HavenFootball.net for great game statistics and articles. If you're into Haven football or simply high school football, there's no better place to be than HavenFootball.net.
This is Keith Jackson. You're listening to High School Football right here on HavenFootball.net.
Welcome back to Cardinal O'Hara High School, where we have the 39th Annual Hero Bowl, and the East leads 28-0 over the West. It's been all East with some great passing and some tremendous catches, one-handed catches, and the West has just been struggling to kind of put it together. They've had some close calls, some close plays that could have been for some big yards, but just can't seem to put it all together. But getting away from football just a minute, we just had Memorial Day weekend, and we're finding more and more every year that we are beginning to remember the reason that we have Memorial Day as opposed to barbecues and pool openings. It is to remember the people that have given the ultimate sacrifice to their country in the United States through all the wars that we have fought over our history. We put together a little commemorative a few years ago, and we're going to play it for you now as our salute to those who gave the ultimate sacrifice. And we'll be back just in a few minutes after this.
What we consider to be Memorial Day weekend started out as much more than a three-day weekend for barbecues, pool openings, and holidays at the shore. It began as an attempt to honor those killed in battle shortly after the Civil War. General John Logan got the idea for a National Day of Remembrance when he was the principal speaker at a citywide memorial observation in Illinois. On May 5, 1868, as leader of the Grand Army of the Republic, a veterans organization, he proclaimed May 30th to be Decoration Day. That day was chosen specifically as it was not an anniversary of a battle. People were encouraged to decorate the graves of Union soldiers with flowers to commemorate their sacrifice. The alternate name of Memorial Day was first used in 1882, but did not become more common until after World War II, and was not declared the official name by federal law until 1967. Since the founding of our country, many, many millions have served, and tens of thousands have given the ultimate sacrifice defending our freedoms and our way of life. During Memorial Day services all over the country this past weekend, the tradition was to conclude those services with the playing of Taps, a song played when burying a current or former soldier. We at HavenFootball.net wish to honor all our veterans for their service and sacrifice on this 2008 Memorial Day week.
I need a new debit card.
One moment, please, Stephen.
Great.
You should receive your new card within 10 to 12 business days.
10 to 12 business days?
Business days are considered Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
I know what business
Thursday,
days are.
Friday. Business days do not
include. It's time to bank human again.
Saturday.
That's why at TD Bank, all of our checking accounts come with a free debit card on the spot, any day of the week. TD Bank, America's most convenient bank.
Member FDIC.
The world of internet sports broadcasting is rapidly expanding into the amateur ranks. Schools, high school and college, as well as minor league sports clubs, are finding out about the hottest new streamer on the planet, EasyStream.com. In just minutes, your crew can have its sporting events live and on the internet. For more information, call 800-866-7510 or log on to EasyStream.com. EasyStream. Streaming made easy.
Nobody covers the Delaware County high school sports scene like the Delaware County Daily Times. No matter what the season or the type of sport, football to soccer to lacrosse to wrestling to track to basketball and baseball, virtually every high school sport for every high school in the Delaware County. For complete coverage of today's games, pick up your copy of the Delaware County Daily Times wherever newspapers are sold, or go online at www.delcotimes.com. If it happened in Delaware County, it's in the Delaware County Daily Times.
Introducing lunch at Outback every bloomin' day. Hurry in for all your Outback favorites. Plus new Aussie tacos, new savory ribeye melt, and our delicious burgers. Over 70 lunch combinations starting at just $6.99. It's lunch at last every day at Outback. In the Outback, every Wednesday means a three-course meal for just $12.99. So we're cooking up some of our favorite entrees, like our mouth-watering signature sirloin with soup or salad, a side, and dessert.
Visit Outback Steakhouse in Springfield at Old Sprawl Shopping Center on Baltimore Pike.
This is CBS 3 Sports Director Beasley Reese, and you're listening to High School Football on www.havenfootball.net.
Welcome back to halftime of the 39th Annual Hero Bowl. The buzz you hear in the crowd below us is the Delaware County Track and Field All-Stars is a 4x4 race, and the defending state champ is trying to make up some ground. And wow, what an effort. Penn Crest against Upper Darby there in the final leg, and the red team All-Stars hang on for a win by a nose. So I am not a track and field expert on that one. We will get the names of those track and field All-Stars, but that was a tremendous race, 4x4. again, we have distance runners, sprinters, hurdlers, all mixed together there, so none of them really in their specialty, except for Upper Darby's defending state champion, St. Louis. Again, one of the best 400 runners in the state of Pennsylvania, who just made a diving effort at the finish line to come up just short, falling short of Pencrest's Dion Durnell, who is really known more for his shorter distance, 100 and 200 meters, but hangs on in the 400 to give the red team a very close victory. So always a fun part of Hero Bowl. Speaking of another fun part of the Hero Bowl, the cheerleaders are there at midfield and ready to perform here at halftime. The cheerleaders are, again, spent a whole lot of time getting
That's
ready
right.
for this game.
That's
so.
Right.
Sarah Ristein, Kaylin Gwynn, Megan Towell of Garnet Valley, Deanna Praviti, and Justine Rooney of Interboro, Jamira McLeod, Jasmine Ferguson, and Tyquaria Rigel of Penwood, joined by Jaleesa Walters, also of Penwood. From Chester, Jaleesa Brown, Kalasha Towns, Bria Dorsey, and Shamira Elliott. From Academy Park, Daia Allen, Jalen Martin from Sun Valley, Kara DuBois, and Samantha Eisenacher. Coach Nikki Young is a Media Borough police officer. I will say, just on a personal note, she actually helped me a few years ago after a car accident did a great job with that. So,
I'm glad she didn't have to arrest you.
No, well, someone ran through a stop sign and hit us broadside, and she was not a problem. Thankfully, it was we were all moving very slowly, but the guy who ran the stop sign was Officer Young did a wonderful job handling the whole situation. But also coaching cheerleaders, Coach Yvette Calvin of Penwood High School, Coach Samantha Wolf's Touch of Class dance teacher and dance coordinator, Coach LaTanya Manson from Academy Park. Former Sun Valley cheerleader and coach is Melissa Owsley. Anastasia Morgan is Delaware County Community College student and dance coordinator. Kelly Barnes from St. Joe's University. She is a student and cheerleader there. So, again, terrific effort from the cheerleaders. They put a whole lot of time into it, as well as the players and coaches. So thankful for really all facets of the Hero Bowl. And just a quick couple... Mike, I know you want to talk about some other things
at
halftime, but just a quick look at the stats. Again, thank you to Jim Alsman at MarpleNewtownFootball.com for the stats, and Steve Reynolds of MarpleNewtown.com helping with the spotting tonight. But Steve and Jim let us take a peek at the stats to supplement what we have. Over 270 yards of total offense for the East, just 81 yards of offense for the West. Time of possession, almost 2-1 for the West. The West has held the ball for nearly 16 minutes,
yep,
and just a little over 8 minutes of time possession for the East, but it's been quick strike, scoring, and all combined, Brian Allen 3-for-3 passing, Colin DeGalbo 4-of-5 passing, three touchdowns for DeGalbo, one for Allen. In all, if you think about, try to set up a passing offense on just a few weeks of practice with all new players to go 7-for-8 in the first half with four touchdown passes, they've got to be doing backflips in the locker room for the way the offense has worked so far.
Oh, there's no doubt. And I think, you know, the West, the issue for them is they came out throwing a little bit long because the coverage was so good, and that's an instinct in high school. You know, throw it long, maybe we'll get underneath it, but don't throw it short. We don't want to lose the ball. So I think that started there, and it took them a little while. Now, towards the end of the half, they were definitely throwing it tighter and trying to get into the pocket. And hopefully that's going to continue. I think the problem is East gets the ball beginning of the second half, and that's going to, if the East can score, that's going to put the West in a hole that's going to be very difficult to overcome.
Well, still 24 minutes of football to be played. The tides could turn. There's both talent, tons of talent still on the West sideline.
No doubt.
We'll see what happens. But in the meantime, why don't we take another short break, and then we'll talk a little bit more about, Mike, you had mentioned some things brewing in the PIAA classification system, perhaps. And we'll talk about what that means when we come back in just a moment. Be back for second half action and a whole lot more here at the Hero Bowl on HavenFootball.net.
Nobody covers the Delaware County high school sports scene like the Delaware County Daily Times. No matter what the season or the type of sport, football to soccer to lacrosse to wrestling to track to basketball and baseball, virtually every high school sport for every high school in the Delaware County. For complete coverage of today's games, pick up your copy of the Delaware County Daily Times wherever newspapers are sold, or go online at www.delcotimes.com. If it happened in Delaware County, it's in the Delaware County Daily Times.
In the Outback, where there's wood, there's flavor. Wood fire grilled favorites, only at Outback. Introducing our new thick natural cut ribeye. Juicy and marbled, this steak is truly a cut above the rest. And be sure to try our seasoned perfectly grilled salmon or tender pork porterhouse. Get in for wood fire grilled favorites. Only at Outback Steakhouse.
Visit Outback Steakhouse in Springfield at Old Sprawl Shopping Center on Baltimore Pike.
This year's high school football season is just around the corner, and HavenFootball.net is the place to be for all the Panther football action. You'll be able to check scores around the Central League as well as key teams throughout Pennsylvania in the PIAA system. HavenFootball.net for great game statistics and articles. If you're into Haven football or simply high school football, there's no better place to be than HavenFootball.net.
Welcome back to the second half of tonight's 39th Annual Hero Bowl.
Tonight's game is sponsored by TD Bank, America's most convenient bank, with convenient branches all over Delaware County. Outback Steakhouse in Springfield, steak, chicken, and shrimp, done the Outback way. Eat in or take out. The Delaware County Daily Times, all high school sports every day. If it happens in Delaware County, it's in the Delaware County Daily Times. EasyStream.com, broadcasting your high school sporting events over the internet. Couldn't be easier with EasyStream. Let's get back to the second half action with the regular season internet voices of the Strathaven Panthers, Brian Carroll and Mike Mayer.
Welcome back to the coverage of the 39th Annual Hero Bowl. Brian Carroll bringing you play-by-play. Mike Mayer doing everything else, the engineering, color commentary, and more, and really everything else on havenfootball.net. We'll just make a quick plug here leading into the 2015 season. If you are interested at all in sponsoring and supporting the website, you can email us and get your name and your business out there, up there, whether it's a commercial or posted on the website or both. Again, we're happy to help you support local student athletes and our coverage of the 2015 season. So the 2015 season, Mike, will, from a league and statewide classification system, look a whole lot like this last one.
Oh, yeah, it won't change till the following year if it changes at all.
If it changes at all. But, Mike, you wanted to mention, and there is a note on the website, if you've checked in earlier this week,
right,
about discussions for the 2016 season in football about going to a different classification system.
Well, there's two issues that are fighting at the PIA right now. First of all, the PIA is basically a conglomerate of all the schools that belong, so it's a member organization. And they were initially there to just make sure that the rules are consistent for each of the games. They train the refs. They're all involved in Pennsylvania sports. And for a long time, the classifications, the four baseball classifications, which are based on the number of, in football cases, male students enrolled in the school. The problem was as they tried to divide that up to make it more competitive so that large schools would pay large schools, small schools, medium schools, that when they got into the bigger categories, you know, the cap was like 685, I'm making this up, but 685 male students, all right, was the A crew. If you had that many students or less, you had A, and if it was below 400, it was B and below. Well, the problem was as the schools have grown and consolidated, that now you've got a tremendous amount of schools, and it's the 4A classification, which means they could have anywhere from 686 students to 2,000 male students. And what's happening is these larger schools are beginning to dominate, not only in football, but it's specifically noticeable in football, but throughout, because it's a much larger pool. And the PIA had always assumed that by classifying schools based on the amount of student population, they would have some handle on the competitiveness, so big schools would play against big schools. It doesn't always work, I always think of Hopewell when we went into the Hershey game, and again, that was the biggest 3-8 team I ever saw in my life. But those things do happen. But the point is, day in and day out, you keep it competitive. The other factor that has thrown a kink in the armor here has been that there was an assumption that in public school environments, they have a geographic region they're responsible for. And by between student population and geographic region, it keeps like schools to be competing with like schools. With the advent of the private schools coming into the system, there's always been private schools in the PIAA, and by private schools I mean can either be trade schools or can be Catholic schools, you know, religious schools, institutions, can be magnet schools, whatever. The problem is that they draw from much larger ranges. Catholic schools can draw from virtually anywhere that they choose to. And that's having an effect on player quality and how many players. And you're beginning to see that the private schools are beginning to dominate the championships. So one of the other issues, although that was not discussed here, was whether one of those classifications should be a private school classification. In other words, if they're going to be much larger geographic regions, much larger schools, let them compete against each other and let the public schools based on size. That's kind of where we're at. There's definitely a desire, I think, on most people's part in the PIA to increase classification so that the 4A classification is not so inclusive. So they break that up. Where the private school situation, that's not being discussed right now. It may be discussed, but it's something that has to, as you see a certain group dominate sports, and in the PIA, private schools are beginning to dominate the sports you see a lot of: football, basketball, volleyball. Some of the summer or spring sports. You know, so it's becoming an issue. Again, nobody minds that the private schools are winning. It's just if it's consistently winning, then there's an assumption that there's an advantage, and we need to do something within regs to make it more of an even playing field, so everybody has an opportunity. Because that's really been the beauty of the PIAA. If you were a AAA school or a AA school, you know, and Strathaven was probably a good example. When we were a real dominant school, we beat everybody in the Central League. But the reality is that with very large schools in the Central League, and Strathaven being a relatively small school, our chances of winning a Central League today in football is pretty limited because we're running against some very large schools in Garnet Valley and Ridley. But when if we get far enough, we win enough games, and we get to the playoffs, that's a district thing. We're playing against other schools similar to our size, and that's a winnable situation. And that's what everybody's hoping to do. So, you know, we'll see where it goes. I wanted to discuss it because I think it's important for competitiveness, and I think competitiveness is important for kids to participate in sports. If you know, the programs that aren't competitive have a tremendous amount of difficulty bringing kids out to play sports, because who wants to go play if you know you're going to get killed? You know, and now it doesn't mean you have to win everything, but you'd like to go out there, you know, let's win 4 out of 10, let's win 5 out of 10, you know, let's be reasonable.
So there are models for this nearby. I will say our neighbors to the east, just over the river in New Jersey, have a separate system and a separate state championship for the private and parochial schools. Our neighbors to the west, Ohio, 6 classifications. And again, so you have models for it in other nearby states that the PIAA could choose to borrow some of those ideas from and so forth. But again, just it is interesting. I will say that the first round of this that did pass to at least a next round of discussions a few weeks back, they were in this same place, 2009, I want to say, where it got through the first round of talks, and I believe even the second round of talks, but then the final vote came down to, no, let's leave it alone. That was back in 2009. But, again, maybe the tides are changing just a bit.
Well
we'll see.
You're seeing more dominance, and right. I think that's the thing that's going to, you know, before it was, I think people could see it coming, but, you know, it still was conjecture. Now you're seeing it happening, and look, you know, you want to put together a great team, and you're a private school, and you have the sources to do that. I don't think anybody wants to tell you can't or you shouldn't. And we'd like to see, you know, teams compete, but the bottom line is, you know, when you draw, as an example, if Strathaven and Ridley and Pencrest and Garner Valley all could grab each other's players and incentivize them somehow, you know, somebody would go to Strathaven because they've got a better preparatory for college, and maybe they'd go to Ridley because it's better preparatory for you know, military schools, or, I mean, I'm making all this up, obviously. But the point is, if you could go as an athlete to a school that you think would be better suited for you and switch back and forth, or maybe because you want to play for a team that's going to be more successful, that can happen. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not accusing anybody of recruiting. I'm saying that if public schools had the ability to mix and match students within a much larger geographic area, that'd be a nightmare.
Right.
Because,
right.
You know, how do you prevent the recruiting? How do you prevent the incentives? But as an example, what kind of football team would you have if Ridley, Pencrest, Garner Valley, Strathaven,
made
an all-star team and said, we're not going to be a school, we're going to compete as you know, Western Delaware County or something,
right.
And we're going to take on all comers. Well, that would be fine, except that when you go up to play Radnor, you'll kill them because your draw is so nobody could beat you, and that's the point. We just want a competitive environment. So we'll see where it goes. I think it'll be interesting to follow, and I think the PIA's got good people in it, and they're certainly intelligent enough to see the writing on the wall. So hopefully we'll see some changes for 2016. And, you know, this is an ongoing situation, and it will have to be treated as such.
Speaking of this season and Strathaven in particular, you can check out the website for the upcoming schedule. We start Labor Day's pretty late this year, actually. So there are two scrimmages in August. The first game, live regular season game, is the Friday of Labor Day weekend. Friday of Labor Day this year at home against Dobbins Tech. Last year we were in South Philadelphia for that one. Also the Friday of Labor Day weekend. But September 4th is the Strathaven opener, so hope you can join in there. But it should be an interesting Central League this year. It should be an interesting Del Valle League as well, with Academy Park and Glenn Mills and Chester improving, and you know, certainly Interboro always a factor with head coach Steve Lennox. So you know, it'll always be an interesting Delaware Valley or Delaware County season,
right?
Regardless of where the district or state playoffs might lead for any of our local teams, but
we've had some nice competitive situations. I mean, unfortunately Haven has not been in a mix, but Haven was close. I mean, there were four games we probably should have won.
This past season,
would have been right in the thick of things. But that's how it goes, and we're here for the duration, and we wish only Haven well. But what we really wish well is all the people who are playing high school football, that they all have good seasons and stay healthy, and more importantly than anything, have a good time playing ball, because we sure like to watch them, and we love the whole genre of high school football and bands and cheerleaders and all the excitement and enthusiasm. And there isn't any better place in the world. And as a fan, you people out there that are fans, there is not a better $5 purchase that you can make than to go to a high school football game somewhere in Delaware County.
Agreed. And again, tonight, 24 more minutes of football still to be played. The East with a dominating performance through the first two quarters, but the West looking to kick it off and start fresh with ready to go here in the second half. Teams are, well, they're done stretching. They're done throwing the ball around. And it looks like they are getting ready to roll here for the second half of action. So the East and the West, again, totally different. If you're joining us late, totally different format than what we've had in years past. So, I mean, it's not even really fair to compare, you know, recent seasons and recent wins and losses and so forth, because really for the most part it was you know, the Central League versus the Del Valle League, with a mix of some of the private schools on either side of that. This year they did it geographically, drew a line down the middle of Delaware County and said, all right, the West is Chester, Chichester, Glen Mills, Garnet Valley, Pencrest, Ridley, Marple, Archbishop Carroll, Cardinal O'Hara, and Episcopal, and the East, through the first 24 minutes, they've looked awfully good, and that consists of Academy Park, Interboro, Penwood, Springfield, Strathaven, Haverford, Upper Darby, Bonner Pendergrast, and the Haverford School, along with Sun Valley and Delco Christian. So, it's been fun, it's been interesting to see the new format, the new talent, and the distribution of that talent, but really, it went all East's way in that first half. We'll see what the West can do to answer, but unfortunately for the West, they've got to give up the ball first. They're ready to kick it away, and the big guy who's been punting like a champ all night, Najee Lathan, 6'4", 275 out of Glen Mills, will put it on the tee for the first time tonight.
Yeah, well, it'd be interesting to see what he can do off a tee with this thing.
Yeah, because punting it, he's been fantastic. Nick Malone stands deep to return. for the East. High end over end kick is going to instead come down at the 20-yard line to Lower Marion's number 14, Malik Ward. Ward still on his feet across the 35, across the 40, dragging tacklers out to the 43-yard line. Good hard running for Malik Ward. And good field position for the East as they move left to right to start things here in the second half.
And I know I say this during the regular season, but you get a hand at the kids who play for Lower Marion. They have a tough time every year, a couple years without winning a game. And they win a game or two, and, boy, it's like the Super Bowl for them. And you know, these guys have to get out and practice every day like everybody else. They always come ready to play. They just never seem to have the horses. But my hat's off to Lower Marion every year for supporting a team and doing a job. And I'm glad to see a kid on the All-Star squad tonight.
All right. Moving left to right, Brian Allen and the East offense. Alex Bratsis is your halfback. Two receivers to the left, one to the right. Two to either side, rather. Give inside to Bratsis. He bounces outside, turns the corner off the left edge, across the 50, and running hard across the 45-yard line, and Bratsis picks up 12 and a first down. Well, pretty good start there for the East. Bratsis had one carry in the first half, and here's another one. Shiverdelli from Marple Newtown in on the stop. He's wearing 55 tonight. Had to catch up with him before the game. They had him written down as number 45 in your program initially, but got that squared away, and here we go. Three receivers to the right now. Jenkins, Everton, and Allen. Brian Allen is your quarterback. John Kim split to the left. Motion man is Jenkins from right to left now as they balance the formation. Fake inside to Bratsis, keeping it is Brian Allen, and he is buried. Ball is loose. Scramble for it, and picking it up and running down the field is Big 34, and he's dumped it. Now ball comes out again, and the East is back on it. No, and it's still scramble, and now who's on it? My goodness. All right. Three fumbles on the play, and coming out of the pile finally for number 22 is Shaquan Davis of Chester, and the West takes over inside the 20-yard line, and, well, that's one way to start the half.
That's one way, and I am certainly glad I'm not scoring this. I'd have a nervous breakdown trying to figure out what all happened there. Probably have to wait for the film. But
Shiverdelli forced the initial fumble on Allen, and then there was a scramble for it. Running down the field with it momentarily was Quaron Matthews of Chester. He was hit and fumbled. It looked to be recovered momentarily by the East, and then suddenly Shaquan Davis of Chester has his team set up now at the 17-yard line.
Ball at the 17-yard line.
Give is to his Chester teammate, and going next to nowhere is number 20, Rashad Johnson. Took the handoff from Ryan Wayland and gains nothing. Brings up second down and 10. So the East defense picking up where it left off in the first half, allowing only 81 total yards through the first 24 minutes. And next to nothing on the ground for the West. Tom Cleary of Garnet Valley checks out of the game, as does Jordan O'Donnell. Back into the game, a pair of Ridley receivers, Trey Hinchey and Jasir Miner. All right. Hinchey in at tight end now. Receivers split. Backs to either side of Wayland. Back to pass out of the shotgun. Firing to his left. It is in and out of the hands of Hinchey, but flag on the play. And we'll keep an eye on this. I think they're going to get either defensive holding or pass interference against the East, but we'll see. Officials will talk it over. I think the foul is actually away from the play, not really on the intended receiver Hinchey, but also out in the pattern was Darrell Jackson of Cardinal O'Hara. But let's see. We'll wait to see what the officials decide. I think they're going to get the East for some sort of holding, or we'll see. Well, I don't know, Mike.
They don't know either.
Quite a long conversation here. Wayland looking for Hinchey. Hinchey with by far the bulk of the West offense. Three catches for 58 of the 81 yards in that first half. Each team at the end of the game will have an offensive and defensive MVP selected. Hinchey would have my vote. All right. defensive holding. That's a 5-yard penalty and an automatic first down. So
5-yard penalty.
They'll march it.
Now the coaches are on the field. Why is that?
Let's see. They're going to call timeout. All right. Looks like a timeout here. Maybe not. No timeout. Coach is just out for a little chat on both sides here.
It's like watching a baseball game with go ahead and talk to your pitcher.
That's all right. Yeah, that's all right. One visit per inning.
Okay, now they're moving the ball. Okay, so now they moved it down to the 4.
Oh, wow. Okay, so all the way down to the 4-yard line. First and goal to go for the first time tonight for the West. Or second, okay.
Well, they have second on, which doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, defensive holding out. They should switch this to an automatic first down for defensive holding.
Yes, there he goes. There he goes.
So, first and goal to go from the 4. Penalties have settled. And here we go. All right, the West trying to punch one in for the first time tonight, trying to get this second quarter started on the right foot. 9:45 to play here. Sorry, second half. It's third quarter. Here we go. Receivers split to either side. Backs are in an eye. Wayland under center. Gives the tailback. Johnson off left tackle. He is driving those legs. He's going to be wrapped up short of the goal line. And number 15 on the stop from Sun Valley. That is Nate Cusimano. Johnson takes it down to the 2. Gain of 2 on the play. And
second and goal.
I tell you, West has to do this. I mean, there's there isn't going to be much of a game left if they don't get the points here.
Wayland in the shotgun. Sullivan to his left. Johnson on his right hip. Receivers are split to either side on second and goal from the 2. Wayland back to pass. He's going to scramble for it, and he is in for the touchdown on the keeper. Pocket collapsed a bit. And Wayland off the left side and into the end zone for the first time tonight. The West is on the board.
Mark of the third quarter.
Nicely done there by Wayland. And I guess some of the question I would have on a game like this where they say, 40% of your plays have to be passes. A play like that where it's maybe intended to be a pass but breaks down into a run, does that count towards
that's
it?
That's a good question. I have no answer for that.
I don't know if anybody's even keeping track of it necessarily, or really truly charting it, but I think maybe it's just in the good spirit of the game that both coaches are making an effort to throw it around a little bit. But all right. Ryan Dougherty will hold the first extra point attempt of the night from Najee Lathan. Ball spotted. Kick is away. Lathan with plenty of leg, and it is good. All right, the West is on the board, cutting into that big lead, 28-7, with 8:50 to play here in the third. Stick with us. We'll take a short timeout. Be back to see if the East can answer. Thanks for joining us live on the archive here on HavenFootball.net.
Introducing lunch at Outback every bloomin' day. Hurry in for all your Outback favorites. Plus new Aussie tacos, new savory ribeye melt, and our delicious burgers. Over 70 lunch combinations starting at just $6.99. It's lunch at last every day at Outback. In the Outback, every Wednesday means a 3-course meal for just $12.99. So we're cooking up some of our favorite entrees, like our mouth-watering signature sirloin with soup or salad, a side, and dessert.
Visit Outback Steakhouse in Springfield at Old Sproul Shopping Center on Baltimore Pike.
This is Ralph Lawler of the L.A. Clippers, and you're listening to high school football on HavenFootball.net.
Well, the big play of that scoring drive came on the defensive side of the ball. Forced fumble by Marple Newtowns. Vince Shivardelli returned by 2 different West players down to the 17-yard line. Coron Matthews and Shaquan Davis set the table, and Ryan Whalen sat down and ate from the 2-yard line. Punches it in for the first West score of the night. 8:50 to play here in the third. 28-7. The East still on top. And now what's happening here? Okay, the East has to kick it back to the West. All right. There is a Hero Bowl rule that I'm forgetting. We were in this circumstance, I want to say, 3 years ago, where after a certain point differential, there has to be an alternating they will not alternate possessions after a score. So the West scores and will actually get the ball back, kind of a make-it-take-it, back on the basketball playground. All right, here we go. High end over end kickoff, and this is Jasir Minor. Straight up the middle from the Ridley return man across the 25, and whistle blows it dead at the 28-yard line. So good work there from the East coverage team there. number 44 in the mix. That's Alex Linton. Linton from Delco Christian, along with 14, Malik Ward. And the West, trailing 28-7, is going to get another crack at it here with noticeably lesser field position. They'll start at their own 28-yard line. Steve Flanagan is your quarterback. Now it's Wayland. Ryan Wayland is your quarterback. I formation behind him. Two receivers to the right. Give is to Johnson, and he goes for a few. And then, ooh, good second effort. Got him a couple more. Across the 30, out to the 33-yard line. Gain of 5, and best carry of the night for the Chester tailback, Rashad Johnson. Second down and a long 5. All right. Ryan Wayland for Episcopal Academy is headed this fall to Ursinus College. He'll be joined there by Strathaven's Alex Bratzis. But Wayland put it in the air 244 times this year. 134 completions. Honorable mention, Aldelco. He's under center on 2nd and 5. Two receivers to his left. Give us to Johnson one more time. Dances through the hole and not much going there. Good work from the front four there with some support from Mike Fisher of Sun Valley. He's been in on a number of tackles tonight. Fisher, inside linebacker. They'll spot this out at the 35. It's going to bring up third down in about 3. All right. Clock melting now on the third quarter. 28-7, the West trailing, but with the football, with 7 minutes and change to play here in the third. Slot right, split right, play fake, and back to passes Wayland. Looking to his right, dances inside the pass rusher and fires to the right sideline, high over the head of everybody. Out in the flat there was Sullivan of Chichester, but pass off the mark, and it turns into fourth down and short, and Wayland and the offense, I believe, will stay on the field here. Let's see. They're deep in their own territory, but now they are going to think better of it and bring the punt team on. So West lines up to punt it away. 62 back there. Najee Lathan to kick it. Kick in the direction of Kevin White of Upper Darby and Mark Everton of Innerborough. Everton with one catch on the receiving on the offensive side tonight. Took it 59 yards to the house in the second quarter.
Along with Kevin White.
All right. Lathan has been tremendous kicking the football tonight. Takes a snap. This one, not his best effort, but angling towards the sideline and away from the return man. So it'll be down there by Jasir Minor at the 29-yard line. So nice kick, no return. And the East offense will get back on the field now after the defense holds. So
yeah, we're going to see what the West can do now. They really need to try to force a four and out if at all possible.
Brian Allen will get another crack at it here for the East offense. Second play from scrimmage in this third quarter was ended up being a fumble. So he'll look to stay on the field a little bit longer this time around with his offense. Allen has Bratzis alongside of him. Or is that Malone in there now? Nick Malone from Strathaven. So two Strathaven backs are taking turns out there in the backfield. Jenkins split right, three receivers to the left. Kim Everton and Dan Allen of Penwood from inside to outside. Play fake. Now Allen under heavy pressure, and down he goes. Try to fake to the right, fake to the left, and then looks up, and big 34 is right in his lap. Quaron Matthews of Chester buries him back inside the 20-yard line at the 19. Big loss on the play. Turns into second down and 20.
Yeah, and Scott Shetty was there as well. And, I mean, it was a jailbreak, essentially. He had nowhere to go.
Not sure if they were setting up a screen to that right side, but Allen had nowhere to go with it. Three red shirts in front of him. And the clock ticking now, 6:23, 6:22, and counting in the third. The East digging themselves a little bit of a hole.
Yep, and, of course, the West looking to get good field position if they can keep this thing going.
Maybe some blood in the water here for the West. Two defensive tackles from Marple Newtown trying to get off the ball here. Allen rolls to his left on second down and 20. Steps up in the pocket. Now he's being tracked from behind, and down he goes. Shivardelli on the sack again. has a forced fumble and now a sack on consecutive possessions. And it backs him up further to the 15-yard line. Third and 24 upcoming.
Whoa, this is they got a punter from there. This should give the West real good field position.
Well, whatever was talked about at the halftime locker room is...
Yep. hasn't impressed the offense yet, but it certainly impressed the defense.
Changed the tone here. So Allen sacked on consecutive plays here. It's going to bring up third and forever. Well, Allen is a threat to scramble. But again, if they want to just sort of play a mush rush or contain or maybe even a spy in there, might be something to consider. If he doesn't just throw it deep. And now flag from the back judge means delay of game, and they're going to back it up five more yards to the 10. Ooh. All right, third and 29 now for the East, and it's gone from bad to worse here. Bad to worse here for a team that flat out dominated the first two quarters. So Brian Allen in the offense, a deep, deep hole. But honestly, over the last 2 years, I've seen this guy do more with less.
Yep.
And there's a couple plays I remember in the Strathaven games where they had him third and forever, and he ends up with a scramble or uses his legs to keep a play alive and big completion or whatever it is. So number five is not to be counted out here, even on third down and 29 from his own 10-yard line. Three receivers to his right. The left-hander back to pass. Pump fake short and throw it long. Down the middle, he's got a man out there. It is caught for a first down out to the 41-yard line.
Unbelievable.
Going up to get it is Quabrium Jenkins of Penwood. They connected for a 10-yard touchdown late in the second quarter, and now they connect for 33 and a first down.
Boy, and again, he was covered. I mean, there were people all over him. It just dropped right in.
Beautifully done. Jenkins for 33 yards, and Allen is 4-for-4 throwing it. Incredible. Allen has his offense set again. Jenkins split to the left, two receivers to the right. Give inside to Nick Malone. Flag on the play. Malone goes for a yard, maybe. Shivardelli and Parker in on the Doherty of Ridley in on the stop, but I think we'll check the flags first.
Where'd you see a flag?
Line judge right here may have picked it up.
I think somebody's throwing a ball, a multicolored ball.
Oh, is it a yellow football? Really?
I don't think it's yellow. It's got that lime green color to it.
All right, so Malone goes for a yard. Second down and 9 from their own 43-yard line. The East has already dug themselves out of a huge field position hole and now looking to do more. And now here you go. Two quarterbacks again. Allen and DeGalbo side by side. Who's going to take the snap? Four wide and rolling to his right is DeGalbo. Back to pass. Heavy pressure. Dances away from one man. And Shivardelli with another sack.
Ooh.
Well, two sacks. Well, really three in the last 5 minutes of play here, including a forced fumble. And now it backs them up again into third and forever. All the way back inside the 33-yard line.
They obviously like working from deep in their own end zone. Or deep in their own side of the field, rather.
Well, I'm glad I talked to him before the game. I said, what's your name, son? 45. I had him as 45 on my roster, and then he says, no, that's me at 55. All right, here we go. Three wide receivers to the left. Third down and long. They need the West 48-yard line for a first down. East in the shotgun again is Allen, and now flags. No, timeout. Timeout called by the East sideline. They want to talk it over on third down and 20. We'll take a short timeout with them. Be back for the final 3 minutes of the third quarter. East on top, trying to add to it here on HavenFootball.net.
Hi, my daughter has some coins. She'd like to turn them into cash.
Did you say cash advance?
Oh, no, coin counting.
I want to buy a dollhouse.
Congratulations. Would you like to hear about our mortgages?
Mortgage? No, she's 7.
Oh, sorry. We do not offer 7-year mortgages at this time.
No, coin counting.
It's time to bank human again. That's why at TD Bank, you can talk to a real person anytime. And yes, we have free customer coin counting. TD Bank, America's most convenient bank.
Member FDIC.
This is Dan Baker, public address announcer for the Philadelphia Phillies and the Philadelphia Eagles, reminding you that you're listening to high school football right here on HavenFootball.net.
Welcome back to the 39th Annual Hero Bowl. All proceeds and profits headed towards the Hero Scholarship Fund to the children of fallen firefighters, police, and emergency medical service personnel lost in the line of duty. All right, here we go. Three wide receivers to the left, one to the right on third and 20. Allen back to pass, has a nice pocket. Down the middle he goes, caught by Everton for a first down into West territory. Jack Diggory in coverage, but not quite enough as they drop him at the 46-yard line. Gain of 22.
I tell you, the offensive line for the East is just doing super. There's some big boys up there, and they're just holding them, doing a nice job.
Didn't I just say a minute ago we've seen Allen on third and long just convert again and again over the last 2 years, and now has converted third and 29 and third and 20 on consecutive just a few plays apart. So this is really just terrific.
If he was on my team, it'd be terrific, and he was on the opposing team, he'd drive you nuts.
Nick Malone in the backfield with Allen on first and 10 from the West 46. Motion man is Allen Ruffin. They give it to him on a jet sweep. Give, looking for a block, and not much going for Ruffin that time. Picks up a couple before he's banged out of bounds here by Ryan Dougherty of Ridley. They'll spot this at about the 44, I believe. Gain of two for Ruffin. Three carries for 21 yards for Ruffin, and he also has that 17-yard touchdown catch with 30 seconds to play in the second quarter. So Ruffin's been a busy guy, and they even called a play for him to consider throwing it. He was the Academy Park quarterback this year. Malone is your halfback next to Brian Allen on second down and 8. Give is to Malone, dances through one tackle and still on his feet across the right side. And now into the open field, speed down the near sideline, 20, 15, cuts it back, still on his feet, and a beautiful run for a touchdown by Nick Malone, 46 yards down the sideline, shedding tackles the entire way.
And how often do we see him do that?
Well, not quite enough. He missed a little time, at the end of the year, but when he has the ball in his hands, You just didn't give up on the play. You just waited until the whistle blew, because that's one guy who never gave up on it and certainly didn't right there. Shed three tackles on his way to the fifth touchdown of the night for the East. Beautiful run, and the first rushing touchdown of the night for the East comes on the legs of Nick Malone from 46 yards.
Jack Soslo in.
Now, snap gets away from Allen. He picks it up and throws, and I believe the two-point conversion will be good. It is caught. Little scramble, bobbled snap, and a two-point conversion to Nick Costello. So Haverford's big senior got them on the board first, and now tacks on the two-point conversion and stretches the score to 36-7 as Allen had to improvise after the snap went awry. All right, well, Malone takes it in. The Strathaven senior, 46 yards down the near sideline. And 1:34 to play here in this third quarter, so we'll keep it right here. And now with the East on top again, 36-7, my guess is the West gets maybe multiple possessions here should they score. I think we're still in a make-it-take-it circumstance here, if they're able to punch one in. All right, so ready to kick it away one more time is Jack Soslo. Four extra points and six kickoffs on the night. He's been a busy guy. The East has yet to punt tonight, right?
That's right.
They've not punted the football. So one turnover, one costly turnover, but still, East sideline has to be pretty pleased with the offensive performance thus far. High end over end kickoff is going to come down to Jasir Minor at the 5-yard line. Off to his left and sheds one tackle, but nope, couldn't get away from the second man in. And number 10 from Haverford knocks him down. That's Kevin Maloney on the stop. So the West.
All right, West, let's put something together here.
The West will start just shy. I was waiting for the spot there. They'll put it at the 19-yard line. And Ryan Wayland of Episcopal Academy is your quarterback. We'll try and dig them out of a 36-7 hole here with just over a minute to play here in the third. Shane Stabinski is your center, joined there by, well, I'll get to the offensive line in a moment. Two receivers, one to either side. Two halfbacks on either side of Wayland. Back to pass, rolling, and now he's dropped. Academy Parks, number 25, shooting in there. It's Dante Gee. Sax DeGalbo, or Sax Wayland, back at the 9-yard line. Loss of 10 on the play.
And 55 DeGalbo was in there, and it was just a jailbreak.
Yep.
I was watching. I actually was watching the line with the binoculars, and they were on the quarterback. Super quick. Super quick.
Offensive line for the West trying to do a little better. Carlos Ruiz in the game there. Andrew of Pencrest. Andrew Gallagher from O'Hara in the game now as well, along with 78 Zach Marvel of Chichester. Timeout called with 48.6 seconds to play here in the third quarter. We'll keep it right here.
Okay, we got lucky with the weather tonight. It's very comfortable out here. And I don't know that I want to be wearing 35 pounds worth of equipment out here, but then... My doctor tells me I'm carrying around 50 pounds of equipment that I should be getting rid of.
Me too. We'll see if we can slim down before the regular season. We'll see.
I don't know. I got a cruise coming up.
Where are you headed?
Just Canada. Just north with
just Canada. Oh, that's all. You know.
Well, it's just, I mean, it's not like it's exotic, Bermuda or Hawaii or the Mediterranean, which are on my list, by the way.
All right.
It's,
where in Canada?
We leave out of New York. We'll go to Halifax, St. John's, and then to Portland, Maine.
Okay.
Which I've not been to before. I've been to Halifax and to St. John's. So it's a nice trip. It's a little cooler.
Yeah.
Which is one of the reasons
the
we're
way
going.
You do it. Yep. Go
and of
north
course, when you leave on the East Coast, your choices are north or south. So we decided to go north and try to break the heat a little bit. So. We'll see how it goes. It should be a fun trip.
Excellent. All right. Well, in the meantime, the West will try it again from their own 9-yard line. Second down and 20. In the shotgun is Ryan Wayland of Episcopal Academy. Takes a snap and drops back near his goal line. Firing deep down the left sideline. Has a man out there, but incomplete. Overshoots Darrell Jackson out of bounds out near the 40-yard line. And step for step with him was number 14, Malik Ward of Lower Marion. Again, I can't stress enough how little the windows have been
on both sides
for the West's quarterbacks to throw. The East secondary has been absolutely locked down through the first three quarters here, and you're right, Mike. Through both sides, a couple of breakdowns on the West.
Absolutely,
the Everton touchdown, the first touchdown where you had Costello running loose for 47 yards. You know, he had a lot of room, but really for man coverage all over the field with no blitzes allowed, defensive backs on both sides have really held their own, or better. Third and 20. From the 9-yard line, Ryan Wayland awaits the snap. Three receivers to his right. He rolls that way. Eyes downfield. Still looking. Heavy pressure now. Dances away from one man. Fires to the sideline. It is in and out of the hands of Jasir Minor. Again, terrific coverage provided by number 30, Rosiato Jennings, of Upper Darby. So, fourth and 20.
Not only terrific coverage, terrific pass rush. I mean, that's, these guys are just not giving them much of a chance to throw that ball or to get set, and it's just, it's playing havoc with their timing.
Yeah, I mean, all three quarterbacks, Wayland, Flanagan, and Fisher, they've done as much running as the receivers, it seems, in their backfield. All right, kicking from his own end zone now. Number 62, Najee Lathan, yet again, ready to punt it away. Kevin White and Mark Everton await the punt, and punt nearly blocked. Lathan gets it away, and a flag comes in, and the guy rushing the punter seems to be a little worse for the wear. But in the meantime, the ball downed out near the 49-yard line. And
I'm a little surprised at the attempt. I mean, you're winning by that much. What's the point of blocking a punt?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know if he was coached.
If it ends up as a personal foul, you're going to end up, and that's going to be an automatic first down. Mm-hmm. Even the yardage. I mean, really silly mistake there by the East on the punt rush there, because even the yardage would not have given him a first down except for the personal fouls and automatic. So you're going to put the offense right back on the field. Fourth and 20 turns into first and 10 now out at the 29-yard line. So the West catches up at the 24-yard line, rather. First and 10, the West gets a nice break there with 30 seconds to play here in the third quarter, and they'll give the offense another crack at it.
I find it hard to believe that the coach directed that attempt.
Yeah, that may have been just a...
I mean, everybody's been kind of just belly bumping on these punts because nobody wanted to to rush a kicker. And in this one, he came in from the corner hot and...
On his own,
kind of
surprised.
I would think so. I just can't believe when you're winning like this, you're going to...
Dan Fisher of Pencrest is your new quarterback. Three wide receivers to his right. Sullivan is his fullback on his right hip as well. And Fisher under heavy pressure right away, and he's going to be banged down again. Stepping up is the linebacker, number 24, Terrence White, Academy Park. Buries him back inside the... Well, we'll see where they spot this one. Back near the 15-yard line. Clock ticks, 12 seconds, 11 seconds, and counting to play here in the third. And it looks like the West will let this clock run down and switch sides and take their chances going left to right in the fourth quarter. So they will spot the football deep in West territory, trying to dig out of a 36-7 hole with 12 more minutes to play here in the Hero Bowl. We'll take a short time out, be back for the fourth quarter of action. Glad you joined us. You're either live or on the archive here on HavenFootball.net.
The world of internet sports broadcasting is rapidly expanding into the amateur ranks. Schools, high school and college, as well as minor league sports clubs, are finding out about the hottest new streamer on the planet, EasyStream.com. In just minutes, your crew can have its sporting events live and on the internet. For more information, call 800-866-7510 or log on to EasyStream.com. EasyStream, streaming made easy.
This is CBS 3 Sports Director Beasley Reese, and you're listening to High School Football on www.havenfootball.net.
Welcome back to the start of the fourth quarter. Brian Carroll bringing you play-by-play. Mike Mayer doing the color commentary, engineering, and everything else on havenfootball.net. Mentioned just during the time out there, there's like a 2010 Strathaven reunion here. Some guys we know, Brent Collins and James Griffin and Chris Martin, members of that... 2010 District 1 Central League co-champ and District 1 AAA champ. Really the only team to give Archbishop Wood any kind of a game in the state quarterfinals since their run began. And Strathaven ended up losing that one 27-14, but that was a game until really about 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. That was a one-score game. And Archbishop Wood has dominated the District 1 champ every year since, and it frankly, hasn't even been close.
Yep.
Most of those games in the mercy rule circumstance. So, at any rate, I reminisce, but here, back to the action live. Second down upcoming here for the West. Trying to dig out of a deep hole here. Second and long. Fisher back to pass. Firing deep down the field. Has a man out there. Incomplete. Over the wrong shoulder. Trying to connect with Trey Hinchy. Hinchy, the leading receiver for the West tonight. Three catches for 58 yards. But he and Fisher couldn't connect. It's third down, actually, coming up. Third and long. They'll snap it from back at the 17-yard line.
Well, I think if they got a punt, I don't think you're going to see much of a rush from the East.
I wouldn't guess, yeah. Third and 17 upcoming. Fisher. Some confusion here on where to line up. Steve Palis, split, and now slot to the right. Darrell Jackson of Cardinal O'Hara, split to the right. Two receivers to the left as well. Fisher back to pass. Looking, heavy pressure, has to take off and run. Tucks it under his left arm, looking room off the left side, and he's met there by the linebacker from Delco Christian, number 44, Alex Linton, and driven out of bounds near the line of scrimmage, maybe a gain of a couple more. See where they spot this. Out to the 21. Are they going to give him the 21-yard line there? Gain of four.
Like
gain of four, but it's still going to bring up fourth down at about 13. So punt time again for the West. And, you know, if you you said before the game that one of your busiest guys with the football in his hands is going to be Najee Lathan.
Yeah, with the punting.
The punter. It's not where the West would have liked to be, being that Lathan is an offensive guard. They don't ever want him with the ball in his hands, but he's been punting all night. He stands deep inside his 10-yard line, awaits the snap, no rush, steps into one and booms it. Low line drive kick. Kevin White's going to have a chance, though, from the 43-yard line. Looks for room off the left side, trying to get a block from Everton, and has a little bit of a convoy now. Dances his way backwards, trying to set it up going the other way. Gives ground at the 35-yard line. White now a flag on the play. This is going to come back, and Steve Palis finally drops him at the 45-yard line. White probably ran about 40 yards to gain three. And
but he had a good time doing
it. And for all his trouble, this is probably going backwards at least 10 yards for an illegal block of some kind. So you're right. Had the ball in his hands and make the most of it. Run around for 10 seconds and see what happens.
Steve Palis in on the stop.
All right. So we'll check the flag here in a moment. But spot foul from the east 45-yard line, and they're marching backwards. Illegal use of the hands, blocking the back, it seems. Take it back to the 35, and that's where the East will start. First down and 10 to go. Colin DeGalbo is your quarterback. Also in on the offensive line, Jesse Lesher. I'm sorry, 64 for the East, rather, is Sun Valley's Ed Racine. He's in at guard. All right, DeGalbo with Linder as a back on his left. Jet sweep to John Kim of Haverford. Cuts inside and going absolutely nowhere. Nice work there by John Lyman to hold the point of attack, turn him inside, and even assisted on the tackle himself. So Kim picks up three, and Lyman of Ridley in on the stop. His first carry of the night for John Kim. Brings up second down and seven. DeGalbo, you're joining us late. 4 out of 5 passing. 128 yards and 3 touchdowns in the first half. All right. Kim sets up as a split to the left side. Wing to the left as well. Two receivers to the right. Motion man is 88 Tyler Higgins. Keeping it himself is DeGalbo on a read option across the 40 out to the 42. He'll bring up third down and 3. This keeps the clock moving as well. 36 to 7. If you're joining us late, it was an aerial show in the first half. 4 touchdown passes between Brian Allen and Colin DeGalbo. Gave the East a 28-0 halftime lead. A turnover to start the second half for the East led to the West's first and only touchdown. A quick 2-yard run by Ryan Wayland. But the West answered with a Nick Malone 46-yard touchdown run late in the third quarter, and that's where it stretched to 36-7. On third and short, DeGalbo back to pass. Looking, fires to the right flat, has a man complete for a first down and then some. First catch of the night for Joe Okendo of Monsignor Bonner. Okendo takes it to the West 43.
Joseph Okendo with the catch.
And another first down for the East. First catch of the night, and DeGalbo has been absolutely on the money. He's 5 out of 6 now.
Well, the quarterback squad from the East has just been super, just super.
Gain of 14 on the play. They've completed passes to 7 different receivers. First down give is to Linder Devos of Upper Darby. Second, third effort spins him down to the 35. Gain of 7.
Took four red jerseys to get him down the ground.
Good tough running. Devos, 3 carries for 20 yards as he picks up 7 there, or almost 7. Second down and a long 3.
Okay.
For the East. Clock ticks. 8:42 and counting to play here in the fourth. John Kim split to the left, 2 receivers to the right. Devos is the halfback next to Colin DeGalbo, who's back to pass. Looking, all sorts of time. Fires to the right sideline, incomplete. Overshoots his man that time, looking for Okendo down inside the 20. Jordan O'Donnell in coverage for the West. O'Donnell.
That ball was well out of bounds, so yeah. It wasn't really catchable, period.
O'Donnell, wide receiver and defensive back for Harrington. So Justin Meller, head man up at Harrington now after several years of Mike Barr. And again, still running that spread and challenging some defenses up there. All right. Linder Devos, now they fake it to him, and keeping himself is DeGalbo, who is close to first down yardage. I think they're going to be at fourth and inches when it all said and done here. They unpile, spot the football at the East 33. Yeah, they are inches away from a first down. So give DeGalbo a couple. I have him unofficially for 19 yards rushing, including one sack against. But here, fourth and inches. DeGalvo in the gun. Linder Devos alongside of him. Motion man is Kim. Give is, nope, keeping it himself, and a good read there by DeGalvo, who pushes his way across the 30 down to the 26. Gain of six more and another first down. It keeps the clocks and chains moving in the right direction for the East.
Todd Parker lost his helmet on that one. That's never a good sign when you get hit hard enough to lose your helmet. Well, I don't think they go on as tight as they did when I was playing ball. Those things would tear your ears off if they popped your helmet off your head.
All right. Two receivers to the right, one to the left. Brian Allen into the game now alongside of Colin DeGalvo. Who will take the snap? It's DeGalvo, and now flag on the play first. Let's see. I think you're going to get a motion up front here. And we'll try it again. But honestly, it's really been, there's been a couple of unsportsmanlike penalties. Just a couple of awful, awful mistakes for the West, late in the first half that gave 30 yards of personal foul penalties during an 83-yard drive. About half the drive distance was covered in penalties. Almost, and really just silly mistakes. Aside from that, most of the penalties have been just things you'd expect from an all-star game with formation type things, and just aggressive type penalties, blocks in the back, things that just happen during the course of a football game. Otherwise, pretty clean game. First and 15 from the 31. Allen takes the snap this time. The left-hander looking for it all. Deep down the left sideline. Has a man out there. Incomplete. Underthrown. Intended for Nick Costello on the left sideline. That's Allen's first miss of the night. He's 5 out of 6 throwing it. DeGalvo 5 out of 7.
So here Caldwell made a dive for it, but didn't quite come up with it. He got ahead and was thrown for the interception.
Yeah.
I have seen some coaches on the sidelines on both sides who have pulled their players when there's been sideline action, don't do that again, or, you do that again, you won't be playing, things like that. So the coaches have done a good job keeping all the emotions in check.
Two receivers to the left, one to the right. DeGalvo with Linder Devos taking the handoff. No, DeGalvo's going to keep it himself. Another terrific fake.
Oh.
And DeGalvo runs out of bounds at the 27-yard line.
Colin DeGalvo, the ball
out on that far sideline after a gain of 4.
He does run a great fake. I had binoculars on him, and I still got full.
Yeah. And nice work there by Devos to carry out the fake, following John Kim. So
that's going to bring up third down.
Third and about 11.
Third
clock
and
stopped.
11.
With 6:51 to play here in regulation. Costello split left. Slot to the left as well is Okendo. Motion man is Kim from right to left. They fake it to him. Back to pass it to Galbo. Under heavy pressure. Steps up in the pocket. They won't get it.
Nope.
Go anywhere this time. Garnet Valley's number 41, Ryan Donegan, on the stop. They drop him at the 29-yard line for a loss of a few, and we'll see. Oh, sorry, 31 is where they'll spot it. Fourth and 15. Clock ticks, 6:25 and counting, and they're going to give Soslow another shot at this. He'd missed from 58 yards earlier. Here, they'll try from 48.
Let's see if the snap is solid.
Brian Allen to hold from 48 yards away. Soslow, snap, spot, kick. It is straight, and it is no good. Just short. Just short from 48 goes Soslow. So, boy, he didn't really have a prayer on the 58-yarder. The snap was not terrific, but that one just shy at 48 yards. But, boy, that is impressive.
It was a good snap. Tiny bit high, but good snap. He almost had that one. Gee, we played for another 3 or 4 hours. He might have another shot.
6 minutes to play here in regulation. Ball goes back to the 20-yard line for the West after the missed field goal. So, again, good thoughts from the coaches as well. Say, hey, give your kicker a shot. Long field goal or not, you're going to make the West go 80 yards here to put points on the board.
Right. You can't accuse them of running up the score. Let the kicker try to get a score. It's just fun.
Steve Flanagan from Garnet Valley is your quarterback. Johnson and Sullivan backs to either side as he stands in the shotgun. Steve Palace split to the left. Two receivers to the right on first and 10 from the 20. Flags pre-snap. So they're starting to get a little sloppy, maybe a little fatigue starting to wear on both teams here.
It is a relatively comfortable night, but it's a relatively comfortable night to be sitting in the booth talking.
With a fan right behind you.
With a fan right behind you. Shh, shh. That's the secret.
We're not exactly roughing it
here
at Cardinal O'Hara, and we are we are thankful.
We took the windows down. It's a nice press booth.
Yep.
Clean.
Yep. So we've been
a couple of small lamps, so they don't need to have the lights on in the booth the whole time. A little tough for us working on monitors and stuff like that.
You don't have your cushioned chair like you have at Stratford.
Well, that's true. When I'm partially crippled
if
tomorrow.
If only every Delaware County school would provide you with a throne.
I'm sure if I brought one in, they'd all put it in there.
All right. So first and 15 now as they back it up 5 yards for illegal procedure. Flanagan down the seam on a slant, looking, and it is incomplete. Going high to get it was Jack Veazey. Couldn't quite come down with it. Looking for the Harrington split end, and good coverage there.
Okay, I'm going to real quick runner disclaimer. Hang on for a second.
Sure.
This Hero Bowl broadcast is the exclusive property of the Hero Scholarship Fund and HavenFootball.net, and is produced for the private use of our listening audience. No rebroadcast in full or in part is permitted without the express written permission of the Hero Scholarship Fund and HavenFootball.net. Your cooperation is appreciated.
Now, a little correction on the throne. It is a captain's chair.
Okay, all right.
And it's just, you know.
It's a beautiful chair relative to the other.
High backed. It's just, you know.
Folding chairs. Oh, I don't begrudge it. It's a good-looking chair.
Yeah, and you don't
and well-deserved.
Anyway.
Well-deserved. Flanagan on second and 15 has a pass batted down at the line, and Christian DeGalbo almost had himself an interception right at the line of scrimmage.
And just did a high five with
Kevin White.
With Kevin White, almost knocked him to the ground.
He's got about 100 pounds on Kevin White, and I think they'll just high five rather than belly bump again.
Kevin, you got to lean in a little more.
All right, Flanagan has missed on two straight passes now, and it brings up third and 15. Justin Fremont into the game. Well, that's a big set of tackles there. Fremont and big 70 back in the game. Natar Lloyd Henderson coming at the passer here. Flanagan back to pass. Looking. Here comes the rush. And he's going to keep it. Fakes. And now still going to tuck and run. Has some room up this near sideline. Flanagan's near first down yardage. Terrific effort from the Garnet Valley signal caller. And we'll see. I think if they give him the 31-yard line, that's a first down.
Steve Flanagan, the ball carrier.
And
ooh, no,
it's
going,
close.
Oh,
and they do. They put him on the 30, and that is still enough for a first down. Move it on up.
Gain
of 15.
No, I think he's going to be short by a half a foot.
Really?
No, they gave it to him.
He started on the 20. If he gets the 30, then, yeah.
I was just looking at where the chains were. I didn't look through. Yeah.
Gain of 15 for Flanagan, and the West has themselves a first down. Flanagan, the leading rusher for the West at 22 yards and scrambles.
5 minutes to go in tonight's game.
Two receivers to either side. Flanagan with Sullivan on his right hip. He's in the gun. Going to keep it himself. Quarterback draw. Flanagan runs right into big 70, and Natar drops him.
Welcome to the Hero Bowl.
Yep, on the wrong side of 310 pounds falling on you.
Brought down by
gain. No gain. So no sooner do I say leading rusher, and Natar must have heard me. So I'll have enough of that.
Not when you run at me, you're not a leading rusher.
Yeah. All right. Second and 10. Two receivers to the left. Veazey split. Palace slot. And now they move Nasir Minor over there as well. Jasir Minor, slot left, so it goes three to the left, one to the right. Flanagan, under pressure, steps, throws, it's batted up into the air and nearly intercepted, incomplete it goes. Batted into the air at the line of scrimmage, and 41 came hustling in a hurry, and Mike Fisher almost had himself an INT.
Yeah, that was up for the grabs, boy, just nobody could find it.
Yep. All right. They'll try again now. It's third down and 10 from the 30-yard line. Flanagan, 2 of 7 passing. And it's really been just a tough night for all three quarterbacks for the West. Fisher hit on his first three passes and missed on his next three. Whalen just 1 of 8. All right. Hinchy Lines up, single receiver to the right, and then three to the left again on third and 10 from the 30. 4:03 to play here in the fourth. Back is Flanagan looking. He wants Hinchy down the near sideline on a fly pattern. They get all tangled up, and Hinchy wants a flag, but
incomplete.
Seemed to be incidental. Both of them went tumbling down and pass well beyond them, but fourth and 10 is where we land with it, and the West will bring the punt team on one more time. All right, so 3:44, 3:43 and counting, and clock continues to run.
Who's punting? Oh, there he goes. Okay.
All right. On to punt it one more time is Big 62, Najee Lathan.
He may have a record for punts in a Hero Bowl.
Yeah, Everton and White stand deep to return. White had a chance to return one last time. Everton has yet to get his hands on it in the punt game. Has two receptions on the night. They angle it towards Everton, but bounces high, and Jasir Minor will discourage him from picking it up. Good decision for Everton to step away and let it die at the 31. And, they do not give a special teams MVP, but I'd have to say it would be the punter tonight, Najee Lathan.
Yeah, he's done a nice job. I mean, he's been, fighting an uphill battle the whole time, but he's definitely, he hasn't shanked any, and he's got nice depth. And
yep, exactly. All right, well, the East has the offense back on the field. See who breaks the huddle with to call the signals. I think it'll be Brian Allen of Springfield. And he does so with Alex Bratsis and Nick Malone behind him. Strathaven I formation. Malone is your fullback. Bratsis the tailback. Under center for the first time tonight is Allen. Gives to Bratsis, and he is dropped almost immediately. O'Donnell and number 50, Ron Sachetti from Ridley, in on the stop. Gain of maybe a yard or two for Alex Bratsis. Bratsis did a little bit of everything for Strathaven the last 2 years. He was their kicker. He was their punter. He played linebacker. He played safety. He played quarterback when there were injuries. He played running back. It was really just a pleasure to watch him.
I got him 67 carries for 547 yards, 3 touchdowns, six catches out of 12 attempts.
Yep. They don't anticipate broadcasting those, but we will be there Friday night for Dobbins Tech to open the season, Interborough in week 2, and then the newly reshuffled Central League schedule will start thereafter. So, again, check out havenfootball.net for the look at the schedule, where you'll see some familiar teams missing from the schedule this year.
Right.
As they've reshuffled, where every 3A team will play each other, every 4A team will play each other, and then it's a mix after that. But it'll be kind of an every other year thing for some of the 4A teams at this point.
Right, which means the Central League Championship will not be have the value necessarily it had, but that's okay.
Allen Ruffin in motion from left to right. He takes it on the jet sweep, turns the corner on the right side, midfield, and now speeding across the 40 and a touchdown-saving tackle on that far sideline by number 21 on the stop for the West. Big play by Zahir Caldwell, or Ruffin would be going forever.
Allen Ruffin, the ball carrier.
They trip him up at the 38-yard line. And
down by...
Had some, those are some good wheels there from number 8 from Academy Park.
Yeah, the reality is that the Central League is Central League, but everybody's trying to get into the district playoffs, and that's what's important.
Two receivers to the left, one to the right. Ruffin is your motion man again. They fake to him and give it to Linder Devos off the right side. He cuts it back, and Devos pounds his way down to the 30-yard line. In on the stop, number 28 from Ridley is Blaze Kelly, the linebacker. Haslick in on the stop as well. Clock ticks, 108, 107 and counting. Devos, 4 carries for 28 yards unofficially. Nick Malone back into the game. I'm sorry, that's Bratsis who's on the handoff. Cuts it back to his left and bounces it. Tries to bounce outside, but not much doing there. Good second and third effort's going to give him a first down to the 26-yard line. Yeah. So gain of 4 for Bratsis. That will move the chains, and that will also allow the East to snap it just one more time. I don't know if they'll actually run plays or take a knee, but they do not need another first down. They do not need much of anything now with a 36-7 lead in truly a dominating first half performance. A little bit of an uneven performance in the second half, but again, the defense was just incredible for the East all night long. Allen under center. Single setback is Bratsis. Two receivers to the left, one to the right. Allen takes a snap, takes a knee, and that will about do it.
Yep, that's all about
to do. I do not think they'll need to snap it again as we are inside of 20 seconds. Both teams will line it up, and congratulations to both teams on a very well played and just a fantastic sportsmanlike effort across the board here tonight at the 39th Hero Bowl. Everybody here has done themselves proud. Coaches, players, volunteers, cheerleaders, halftime performance of the track.
Runners, right?
The runners, just fantastic. So we are forever thankful for the setup here at Cardinal O'Hara. We're thankful for the efforts tonight and glad you joined us either live or on the archive. Stick with us. We'll be here for a quick post-game wrap-up and the presentation of the MVP awards when we come back. Stick with us. Be back in a moment on HavenFootball.net.
Nobody covers the Delaware County high school sports scene like the Delaware County Daily Times. No matter what the season or the type of sport, football to soccer to lacrosse to wrestling to track to basketball and baseball, virtually every high school sport for every high school in the Delaware County. For complete coverage of today's games, pick up your copy of the Delaware County Daily Times wherever newspapers are sold, or go online at www.delcotimes.com. If it happened in Delaware County, it's in the Delaware County Daily Times.
In the Outback, where there's wood, there's flavor. Wood Fire Grilled Favorites, only at Outback. Introducing our new thick, natural cut ribeye. Juicy and marbled, this steak is truly a cut above the rest. And be sure to try our seasoned, perfectly grilled salmon or tender pork porterhouse. Get in for Wood Fire Grilled Favorites. Only at Outback Steakhouse.
Visit Outback Steakhouse in Springfield at Old Sprawl Shopping Center on Baltimore Pike.
Hi, I need a new debit card.
One moment, please, Stephen.
Great.
You should receive your new card within 10 to 12 business days.
10 to 12 business days?
Business days are considered Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday,
I know what business
Thursday,
days are.
Friday. Business days do not include...
It's time to bank human again.
Saturday.
That's why at TD Bank, all of our checking accounts come with a free debit card on the spot, any day of the week. TD Bank, America's most convenient bank.
Member FDIC.
This is Keith Jackson reminding you you're listening to High School Football right here on HavenFootball.net.
Thank you, Keith Jackson. Glad everybody's joined us here live or on the archive tonight. The Hero Bowl finishes at a 36-7 score. And the announcement of the MVPs, I don't want to steal any thunder from Jim Alsman, but I would say they are not really a surprise. They were standout performers tonight.
By nature, they shouldn't be a surprise,
no,
I would assume.
No, these the police officers who chose were clearly watching the game. I will tell you that, because this the guys we are about to name MVPs are guys that we called their name multiple times. Sarah Ristine and Jaleesa Walters are the MVP cheerleaders.
Okay.
Sarah Ristine of Garnet Valley and Jaleesa Walters of Penwood. They are receiving awards at midfield from the head coach of the cheerleaders, Officer... I'm forgetting her last name. I'm sorry.
Sure, she did such
Nikki.
A good job,
yeah,
and you forgot
her. She did such
a
good job on my with when our car was hit. But I know her first name. I'm forgetting her last name. But Officer Nikki is presenting at midfield.
The second. Penwood, Jaleesa Walters.
Jaleesa Walters is your second MVP from the cheerleaders. But I will just, for the sake of, again, moving the broadcast along, your offensive MVP for the East is your quarterback, Colin DeGalbo, who was fantastic tonight.
Mm-hmm.
5 out of 7 throwing the football, 3 touchdown passes, 142 yards, just absolutely dominating, especially in the first half. And the defensive MVP for the East is number 16, Breon Cotman-Cole, of Penwood, who had a couple of big time stops of Dan Fisher and the other quarterbacks. He had multiple sacks tonight. 16 in white was all over the field. And for the West, 36-7 on the scoreboard. But you can't blame the two guys that are getting the MVPs tonight. On the offensive side of the ball, he had about almost half their total offense. Trey Hinchy with three first half catches for almost 60 yards. And then finally on the defensive side of the ball, he had three and a half sacks, three of them all on one series. Including a forced fumble. Vince Civardelli of Marple Newtown, defensive tackle, is going to be your MVP for the West. And, again, those and all other players tonight just put on a terrific show. We are thankful for their efforts and, of course, thankful for the effort that has helped replenish the Hero Scholarship Fund, of course. And, again, our those who serve in the line of duty every day for us, and we can only say thank you so many times, really. But I was thinking to myself at halftime, it's probably the safest place in Delaware County tonight.
That's right. That's
with
right.
All the police officers, fire officials, and EMTs here.
Right.
So again, we're just very thankful for everything that was provided here tonight and throughout the year from those who serve our county and country so well. So, with that being said, thank you again to everybody here at Cardinal O'Hara for getting us set up in the booth, to Jim Alsman and Steve Reynolds for their help with the spotting and stats tonight. And congratulations to the West. And you, Mike Mayer.
Yeah, we'll see you in a couple of months.
See you and hear from us all in a couple of months.
Right.
Signing off one more time, the West 36, the East 36, the West 7, and the 39th Annual Hero Bowl. This is Brian Carroll signing off. Good night, everybody, and great football.
This internet broadcast has been a production of www.havenfootball.net Incorporated. All rights are reserved. Thanks for listening, and good night.